right? Or the Jackrabbit. I mean, the oldest rides in the park, you would think.
I mean, like, my brain goes to, like, Phantom's Revenge, like, immediately.
Yeah, the Phantom's Revenge. Although that ride hurt people when it first came out. That ride was break. Like, my brother had to wear a back brace for a whole summer because they didn't have the speed regulated before.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. On the turns, you get jostled around, concussed. Everybody had their ears pierced, so you'd come off the ride with your head bleeding, you're concussed, everybody your back is all twisted. You're like, yeah, you had a couple of cubic zirconias that you got at the Piercing Pagoda at the Monroeville Mall. Next thing you know, you're bleeding out of the neck and you're concussed.
Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show.
It's 4 minutes after 6 at DVE. Here is the Channel 11 Severe Weather Center forecast.
Clouds will give way to a little sunshine this afternoon. Could catch a stray shower this morning in a high of 78. I'm Scott Harbaugh on Severe Weather Center 11.
It's 57 degrees now at DVE. The news is brought to us by Ireland Contracting. I'm Val Porter. Pittsburgh public school officials canceling in-person classes at three area buildings. The district says COVID-19 cases at Phillips pre-K through 5 have risen beyond the 5% threshold set in PPS guidelines. Classes at Pittsburgh Miller and Lincoln will be remote due to COVID-related staffing shortages. Students will complete their lessons online through the end of the week. State election officials say if vote totals stay as close as they are between Mehmet Oz and Dave McCormick, a recount would be required by state law. Throughout Wednesday, Oz's lead over McCormick in the GOP U.S. Senate election fluctuated between 1,000 and 2,000 votes, a razor-thin lead of only 1/10 and 2/10 of 1%.
Whoa.
Under Pennsylvania law, a recount is automatically triggered if the difference between candidates falls within 5/10 of 1% of the total vote. Secretary of State Lee Chapman would have to order such actions if it becomes necessary. For this race, the count would not be scheduled to even begin until Wednesday, June 1st, so it's going to be a while. The Defense Production Act will be used to increase baby formula production in the U.S. President Biden also announced Wednesday the launch of Operation Fly Formula to use federal planes to import formula from other countries. The act will allow the federal government to make key formula ingredients priority and give manufacturers additional resources. It's been reported over 40% of the supply of baby formula nationwide is out of stock because of that shortage. Mm. And a new national poll finds President Biden's approval rating below 40% for the first time. 38% of those taking part in the UMass Amherst survey currently approve, which is down 13% in the last year. Pollsters say negative opinions about the economy are dragging Biden and his fellow Democrats down.
I used to think that a president's approval rating was like super important, and whenever it dipped below 50, it was like, oh my God, the company's a mess. I think we're just a mess, period, now. I don't think you can get more than 38% of people to agree on anything, especially online.
That's probably pretty accurate.
Yeah, but there is also something to be said about unifying the country through hating the guy in charge. That's something that we've always had in common.
It's true.
The U.S. women's and men's soccer teams have reached an agreement with the U.S. Soccer Federation to share equal pay. The landmark agreement comes after years of legal and public pressure on the U.S. Federation to pay women the same as men and ends the pay disparity between the teams. The women's team won the last two World Cup championships, but were still paid less than the men's team, which didn't even qualify for the World Cup. Under the new agreement, all World Cup money earned by either team will be equally shared by all men and women players. So last week, I think it was, we talked about the family who thought they found a cute little puppy on the side of the road and took it home. And hey, it was a coyote.
Yeah.
Well, and that's not the local case. A California woman now got a similar surprise. She initially thought she had taken home an abandoned kitten. Turns out it was a baby fox.
Oh.
Facebook post from the Rockland Police Department in California says a concerned family member recognized the animal as a fox kit and called animal control. It has since been taken to a local wildlife rescue facility.
I guess they can climb like cats, but I don't think they look like cats.
Unless they're newborn, maybe. I don't know. I saw I saw four baby foxes playing in the middle of the road on my way to work last week or 2 weeks ago. They were so cute, but I didn't want to
right
stop
over.
And pick them up.
Killed them all, but killed them all. They were so cute.
Just
killed
like the all. Jinx.
Yeah, he's just, Val is the Jinx on her way to work.
Killed them all. Welp.
I came around this bend and saw all these eyes in the road. Like, what's happening here? And it was just these little foxes bebopping around. There are two kinds of people, those who have gone to psychics and mediums, whether they're believers or just for fun, and those who have never done it and probably never will. A new poll asked people if they believe some people can communicate with the dead. 45% said no way. 30% said yes. The rest don't have any idea. For what it's worth, about 37% of young adults are believers, but just 17% of those 65 and older say they believe. So there you go. Figure out where you fall.
What was that show? I think it was called Crossing Over with John Edwards.
Yes.
One of the best shows ever, because the guy would just be doing crowd work for a solid 7 or 8 minutes before he found a dead person in the room. He'd be like, all right, somebody has a grandma, an aunt, somebody has an uncle, somebody's got to have an uncle. He liked bikes. He's saying something right now. He's saying, I miss you guys. I miss you guys so much. Miss the bike rides. And somebody would just start crying in the back row, and you're like, are you for real?
Or he would pick something like, he's saying something about Christmas. You know, it's like, yeah, we spent Christmas together. Like, really? You spent Christmas together with your grandfather?
You're right.
No kidding.
It's not, yeah, it was not specific enough. Not even close.
Yeah, that guy, his name was the same as the politician who got in all that trouble.
Yes.
But, like, didn't he also get in some hot water for something?
Oh, I mean,
I don't remember that.
I don't know.
There are a lot of them out there.
There's a lot of those psychics. I don't think he got Me Too like or anything. Famous I thought ones. He got like called out for being, I don't know,
a fraudulent. Fraud.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of what he was doing. I mean, he had serious magician vibes. Like he was doing there was some sleight of hand going on. Where either the audience filled out a questionnaire and he just like read through that and figured out some, I don't know, a couple of people to talk to during the program. It was a phenomenal show.
Well, did you ever see that Steve Martin movie where he's the preacher and he has the people on his team in like talk to the townspeople as they're like coming in to the tent and they get some information from them and then they like cue him while he's on stage about all the information of the people in the stands?
No, like, but that's
Margaret.
That's oh, it's brilliant. Great. It's called Leap of Faith. The funny thing is, it's really good. It's him and Deborah Winger, and his band leader is Meatloaf. it's actually great. A pretty good movie. And Liam Neeson is the town sheriff who is like, I don't know why you're coming here to fleece all these people that don't have any money. And it's like, what's the Irish guy doing in Oklahoma?
Right.
A Florida lawyer who sued Burger King last month claiming their Whoppers appear bigger in advertisements than they do in reality is now targeting McDonald's and Wendy's in a similar class action lawsuit. This guy's going to be busy if this is his like claim to fame or whatever. Mm-hmm. Attorneys Anthony J. Russo and James C. Kelly claim in their false advertising lawsuit that McDonald's and Wendy's are using trickery in their ads to mislead customers. The lawsuit cites various food reviews on social media and other publications that point out inconsistencies in the size and appearance of their burgers. Specifically, the suit claims McDonald's and Wendy's burgers appear approximately 15 to 20% larger in ads compared to what's actually served to customers. The suit seeks undisclosed monetary damages as well as an order to correct the advertisements to accurately depict the actual product.
They fat fished me.
It would be funny just to see these mashed up, mangled burgers in advertisements.
It is crazy, though. If you watch any of the commercials, it is like softcore Skinemax with food. Like, they look so juicy. Everything, like, the buns are perfect. All of the toppings are fresh. That's not how it looks.
It's like a food beauty pageant.
Yes.
I mean, they're putting on their best display.
Right.
All dressed up and perfect.
All the makeup.
Yeah. An accused online dating scammer ready to admit to what he did. Brian Wedgeworth expected to plead guilty today in Tallahassee to wire fraud, mail fraud, and money laundering. The 46-year-old allegedly met 21 women in 8 states, including Florida, on dating sites and got them to send him $750,000. He used 13 aliases in the 5 years that he ran the scam starting in 2016. So this is not the Tinder swindler, but a similar version.
After listening, Borky was on the show yesterday, Val, and he talked about how his mom got swindled recently. It's so easy to do research into people's lives now.
Scary.
And you really have to be vigilant, especially if there's somebody in your life, like, an elderly person or something like that. But it is the people who are looking for love, who they want to believe so badly in it that they will just,
Here's my
every prince. Single red flag that pops up. Like, most of these people come to them wrapped in a red flag and they can't see it.
Yeah. Right. Like, all of the every single indication that they get is that this is not the right person. You have to be almost isolated from your friends and family too, which is part of the grift, right? Like, they separate you from your group, and they go, listen, just, this is special between us. Nobody would understand this, and don't share this information with anybody.
Yeah. It was like I was saying the other day, I want to see a show that shows all the failures. All the people that the swindlers, that the bad vegan guy, that, like, all the people who never bought into their crap. Because it can't just be that they pick somebody and it works immediately,
Yeah.
They've had to have
they got to hone their craft.
Yeah, there had to be a few false starts where they're like, someone's like, why don't you get the hell out of my face before I kick your ass, Tinder swindler guy?
He's like, listen, my dog, I don't care if it lives forever. All right? It's a dog.
was the craziest part of the story of Bad Vegan, was that part of what wrapped her into it was that this guy was like, I can give your dog eternal life. And she was like, I am in.
Sold.
I mean, giving vegans even a worse name than they had initially out of the gate, right?
Like, yeah, it should have been called Stupid Vegan.
Oh, speaking of documentaries, I watched another one the other day that's unbelievable. Have you watched Our Father?
No.
On Netflix? Oh, my gosh. It's about, I think we did the story at the time that it broke. It's about an Indianapolis fertility doctor who used his own seed to inseminate his patients, and there are like 95 of his children out there.
Oh
man. Do they all look like some dorky Indianapolis doctor?
Well, they all say they look very similar and have similar health issues, and it's just unbelievable.
It's the number one question you have to ask somebody at a fertility clinic, right? Now, you're not going to pull the old Senka switcheroo on me, right, are you?
Well, yeah, this guy was like, no, we're using med students from the hospital.
When it's removed from the source, that becomes an issue, like the authenticity. How do you really know?
It's just crazy.
How does that guy get off doing that? Like, what does he like about doing that? It's not like he's having sex with them.
Oh, they all think they're, I don't know, they're holier than thou, or they have this weird, I don't know, this egomaniac type of gene.
So they talk about it in the documentary. Apparently there is some religious cult called Quiverful, which you just produce as many children as you can.
Makes sense.
To have a quiver full of children.
The religion's called Quiverful based on that?
Yes.
How many names did they go through before they settled on Quiverful? Hey, how about we call ourselves the Full Bucket Religion? Yeah. No.
Yeah, it's some bizarre cult.
Tons of fun? No.
The Ringling Brothers Circus returning with some big changes after 5 long years of closure. Say goodbye to the lions, elephants, and horses, because for the first time since its opening in 1871, only humans will take the stage. The circus announced it won't have any animals in upcoming shows after backlash about the well-being of its four-legged performers. The owners say Ringling is constantly evolving to stay successful, with this simply being its latest adaptation. The new aim is to have a narrative show where performers and their stories will be the focus. The circus will debut its first show in September of 2023 with 50 stops on its national tour. I mean, Cirque du Soleil has been doing it pretty good for a long time. Mm-hmm. So Pearl Jam have canceled the rest of their spring tour after bassist Jeff Ament tested positive for COVID. He's the second member of the band to test positive after Matt Cameron, who had to leave the tour on May 12th. Josh Klinghoffer and Richard Stuverud filled in. Original drummer Dave Crewson helped out during their show Monday in Fresno. The band posted on social media, "This is horrible for everybody involved, and we're especially sorry to those out there who have made plans to attend these shows. Our attention to staying inside the bubble has been constant. We have truly done all that we could have to remain clear of infection. Regretfully, the Sacramento and Las Vegas shows are canceled. Ticket refunds will be automatic. Processed to ticket holders' methods of purchase. We're so sorry. Be safe out there." And finally, friends of the late Taylor Hawkins are distancing themselves from the Rolling Stone article detailing the Foo Fighters drummer's last days. Chad Smith of the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Matt Cameron of Pearl Jam were both quoted in the article. The story said Hawkins had confided in each of them that he was concerned about the extensive touring schedule for Foo Fighters. Smith and Cameron each issued statements on social media, with Smith saying the story was sensationalized and misleading. Cameron said, "My quotes were taken out of context and shaped into a narrative I had never intended." Forecast today, periods of rain possible later on. Upper 80s for the high. Gonna be, today it's 80. Tomorrow and Saturday, 90.
90.
Yeah, nothing makes 90 sense.
90 for
anymore.
That. Oh, and 90. In the 60s on Monday. So just ride out the couple of days. And there you go. 57 now at DVE.
All right. It's the DVE morning show. Steve Byrne will be on live with us a little bit later on. Also, PFT commenter. So I kept reading about how a lot of people who took Paxlovid, the antiviral drug for COVID, were having rebounds on COVID. And so I took that when I first got it. I had like no symptoms during my COVID run. And I was going to go back into work today. So I, you know, testing last night to make sure I was okay. I test positive again. And I'm like, what
crazy
hell? And then I woke up this morning feeling worse than I felt.
Oh, no.
At any point. And it's still not that bad. It's just like I have a cold. But
yeah,
I had nothing the first week
prior. And yeah.
5 days after I tested positive, I was negative again and feeling great. I was working out this week, like having amazing workouts and everything. I'm like, oh, dude, I'm fine. And I woke up today. I'm like, oh, I feel like ass. Great. And now it's good. So what they think is happening for a lot of people is that the duration that you take that antiviral pill is too short, that you're supposed to take it twice as long. And
so is it one pill?
No, you take it's six a
it's
day.
A series.
You take three in the morning, three at night.
Oh, wow. Whoa.
And they're big. They're biggins. And I know Mike took it too, but it kind of like tamps down the symptoms, but might be just sitting on the virus and keeping it like at a very low level and not wiping it out. Like it's not letting your body do the work. Mm-hmm. In some cases, this is some theories that I read, but from people who are much smarter than me. At any rate, so now I'm back in the barrel, which sucks.
So you're for another 10 days.
No, it's not 10 days. That's
well, it's 5 isolation and then 5 masked.
Well, this is considered the same. Like my infection is still considered to have started.
Okay. This is still your initial.
yeah, I'm still in the first thing. So they're like, oh, yeah, you just have to wear a mask when you go out. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
See, I was under the impression that once you got COVID, you could test positive for COVID for weeks.
I think you can. Yeah, that's why they're saying that you just wear a mask after 5 days because, you know, the level of your infectious
spray.
Yeah, it goes down, especially if you have no symptoms, which I didn't have any. So after the fifth day, I was like, I feel fine. And then, you know, who knows? Maybe the allergies just whipped my ass. Who knows? But I feel like ass this morning. Mm-hmm. So my goddamn Comedy Jam appearance is in jeopardy now, which I'm bummed out about. Steve will be in to talk about that a little bit later on. And PFT commenter, like I said, plus Stan Saverin will be joining us. Boy, he's in the hospital, but he's okay.
It's not COVID.
He just had to go in. Not COVID. Not COVID.
Thank God.
But he wants to come on and do the show today. I'm like, are you sure, Stan?
Stan is the man. I swear, that guy is an inspiration. For real.
He's Iron Man.
He's an ox. You don't mess with him. All right, we're going to do a quick commercial break. We'll come back. Mike's got your sports next on DVE.
From the Bridgeville Appliance Weather Center. Bridgeville Appliance is hiring now. Inquire at bridgevilleappliance.com.
This report is sponsored by News Nation.
Cloudy
to you by Bridgeville Appliance. The Pirates had a breakthrough night in Chicago last night for the first time in four games. They scored a run and got a hit in the same game.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, they scored three runs on nine hits, and that was enough to beat the Cubs 3-2, and a couple of feel-good stories therein. Jack Sawinski, the left fielder, right fielder, batting ninth, Chicago native, hits his third home run of the season in the fifth inning. It turns out to be the game-winning run.
Sawinski is also the name that you call for a Pittsburgh pig. Sawinski!
I didn't know where you were going with that.
Yeah, it must be pretty cool to hit a home run in your hometown.
That's awesome.
His dad was freaking out. That's pretty cool.
Doing the tip the cap. What a moment. And then Mitch Keller came on in relief. You know, it was supposed to be his day to start, but they started Will Crow. Mitch Keller comes on in relief for the first time in his big league career. Goes 2 2/3, three hits, one run, two walks, and four strikeouts. That was enough to get the W. Keller, the second-round pick in 2014, now improving to 8-22.
Whoa.
For his big league career.
Climbing the ladder.
Maybe he's found life as a relief pitcher. Bucks polish off the Cubs, and they get an off day today and come back home to open a series against the St. Louis Cardinals Friday at PNC Park. Adam Wainwright's getting the start for the Cardinals Friday night. You know, a lot of people think Bob Nutting owns the Pirates. It's actually Adam Wainwright. His numbers against the Pirates are absurd.
They're ridiculous.
You've heard about bet against Mitch Keller Day? Well, when Adam Wainwright plays the Pirates, it's bet on Adam Wainwright Day. Bucks and Cardinals Friday night at the Yard. Steelers announced a second interview for Eagles Vice President of Player Personnel, Andy Weidel. They continue to search for Kevin Colbert's replacement as general manager. Andy Weidel's a Mount Lebanon native. Broke into the NFL as a player personnel assistant with the Steelers in 1998 and 1999. That's when Tom Donahoe was the director of football operations. Kevin Colbert hadn't yet joined the organization. Andy has since worked with the Saints, Ravens, and Eagles. So, Pittsburgh guy, used to work for the Steelers. A lot of experience elsewhere in the National Football League.
This is the Steelers version of The Bachelor, man. They are courting a lot of suitors.
Well, you know, and they're taking their time, and why wouldn't they? Because the scouts stuff is over right now. I mean, they're getting ready for OTAs next week. They don't have to worry about a draft again for a while. They're not going to be making any trades for a while, so they can pick and choose as they see fit. Also, having undergone second interviews, Omar Khan, the Steelers' current cap guy, John Spytek, vice president of player personnel for Tampa, Ryan Cowden, vice president of player personnel for Tennessee, and Doug Whaley, another Pittsburgh guy and the former general manager of the Buffalo Bills and a former Steelers pro scouting coordinator. The current pro scouting coordinator, Brandon Hunt, is going to get a second interview today, or at least that's expected, according to our buddy Jerry Dulac at the Post-Gazette. Steelers getting closer a little bit to identifying Kevin Colbert's successor as general manager. Great stuff in the Stanley Cup playoffs last night. Carolina beat the Rangers 2-1 in overtime, and Calgary knocked off Edmonton 9-6. Both of the winners have one game to none leads in the second round. Carolina, I don't know if anybody watched that game. I did.
And I did.
It was really fun because it was a testament to the kind of persistence you have to have if you're a good team in the playoffs. Carolina could not find its game for two periods against the Rangers. Very few quality opportunities against Igor Shesterkin. The Canes looked dead in the water, but they were only down a goal. They didn't panic. They kept coming. They found their game. They started getting it deep, started getting traffic to the net, and they get the tying goal from Sebastian Aho at 17:37 of the third period. And then our old buddy Ian Cole at 3:12 of overtime, just throwing one to the net, and it deflected off Rangers defenseman Ryan Lindgren and past Shesterkin, and there's your OT winner. Canes really got something going on, man. Their crowds are awesome. I love what they do at the end of the game. I think they call it the storm surge, where everybody gets around the center ice circle and they do the slow clap to the faster clap with the crowd. Mm-hmm. When they announce the three stars, the guys bring a puck out and they throw it to a kid. Just tremendous stuff going on in Raleigh right now with this Stanley Cup playoff run that the Canes are on. And it doesn't look like it's going to end anytime soon. The nightcap I mentioned, 9-6 Calgary over Edmonton. Calgary had scored 15 goals, in seven games in the first round against Dallas, and then explodes for 9 against Edmonton in game one against the Oilers. 15 goals combined for the two teams. The 9th playoff game in NHL history to feature at least 15-plus, and the first since game six of the 1993 division semifinal series between the Kings and the Flames. More stuff tonight. Tampa Bay is at Florida, the Lightning leading that series 1-0. And St. Louis is at Colorado, the Avalanche lead that series 1-0.
Good stuff. Thanks, Mike. Val, what do you got coming up?
Do you have annoying coworkers? There's a good chance you do. Coming up, we'll talk about a new survey that talks about all the things that annoy us about our coworkers.
What is this annoying coworker concept of which you speak? I'm not familiar.
Steve Byrne will be live in studio with Bill Crawford. The rest of us are remotely fighting COVID. And it is.
Take your horse pill yet today?
I mean, the horse pill might be why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling right now.
I don't know. It wasn't offered to me, but now I don't want to take it.
It was supposed to be 2% of people had a blowback, a rebound case. And I was like, oh, I have a 98% chance of not having that. I'm fine with those numbers. But now I read some stuff yesterday. They're like, well, it might be more like 25%. I'm like, okay, well, that's considerably different. I wouldn't have taken it.
We're bad at math. Do we say 2%?
Yeah, I feel worse right now than I had at any point. That sucks. Was after feeling great for 6 days. So, Burn will be in. PFT. Is it PFT or Big Cat today?
It's PFT. No.
PFT. All right. We'll talk with PFT commenter. 8:15. And then Stan Saverin, who's also on the mend. He's in the hospital. So we'll talk with Stan. I mean, this is just a banged up bunch of broadcasters all over the country, really.
Bill, is it weird being in there alone?
It is, but, you know, I'm used to the Zoom. You know, we did this for 2 years, so it's not nearly as weird as it would have been pre-pandemic. You know, Joe's in the next studio over, which is more weird. Like, we're both here, but not in the same room.
You know, it's funny you mentioned pre-pandemic. My symptoms are so mild. If this was 3 years ago, I'd have just showed up to work and wouldn't have thought twice about it. And you guys might not have even noticed anything about it.
No, I mean, but what happens most times is we notice it and you don't. Like, Mike, you know you're bleeding out of your eyeballs. What are you talking about? I feel fine.
Yeah, that's the best. You think something's wrong with me? You have pink eye in both eyes.
There was only two times that happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Bell's palsy was the other one.
Oh, Bell's palsy, yeah. I think Val...
Dr. Val diagnosed that, yes.
I got that one. So you just need me and Randy, Mike.
Yeah.
I do.
To say, I'm so you got to go home. Have
you. You too, Bill. Joe. Love you, Joel.
Oh, look at that. It went from all your workers suck to I need you and love yous. All right. The quick turnaround there.
We'll be right back. You thought I was sarcastic when I said that nobody's annoying? He didn't believe me.
No, I believed. I believed you. And thanks for proving the point that coworkers are annoying by elongating the ending of this break by about 2.5 minutes. Quick break. We'll be right back here on the DVE Morning Show.
Our answer to inflation in two words, workforce cash. Listen for the keyword weekdays at the top of the hour, 9 times.
Experiencing the heartbreak of watching their favorite local team lose in the playoffs and maybe having difficulty understanding the end of an era. Tonight at 8, how to talk to your kids about Pittsburgh sports.
Dad, you said the Penguins were going to get swept. And then after the first game, you said they were going to win in 5. And now you're acting super sus and mumbling about some guy named Tuba.
His name is Truba, and he stole the series because the NHL hates its superstars, and he has a history of headhunting. He tried to take Gensel out first, and then he scores a goal!
Dad, you are like the CEO of Cringe right now.
Look, Em, I know this is tough for all of us, but even though this might have been the last ride for Sid, Gino, and Letang... We got a lot of great hockey and 3 Stanley Cups, you know? I mean, we have so much to be grateful for.
Oh, we're fine.
Big Ben and the Steelers gave us so many fun seasons of football, right? And 2 Super Bowls. But, you know, unfortunately, everything comes to an end.
I didn't ask that.
I know it's a lot to take in, and sometimes the devastation we feel makes us wonder why we... love sports so much.
Loki, you are the one that needs a talk.
I just don't know why we can't win a playoff game.
You are simping 1 minute and capping the next.
I don't understand any part of that sentence.
Dad, you are lacking.
What does that mean?
It means you're lacking, bruh.
You know what I'm lacking? Joy. The simple joy of all my favorite teams beating somebody in the playoffs and not ripping my heart out and then leaving town or retiring. That's what I'm lacking.
That ended up being, like, really sad. Dad, the Steelers got Kenny Pickett, and even though his hands are, like, basically the size of mine, he's going to be really good. And Crosby's so good, whoever ends up on the team with him, they will probably make the playoffs.
How to talk to your kids about Pittsburgh sports. You'll find that sometimes it's your kids that end up learning how to talk to you.
This is the City of Champions.
That's right, Em.
And the Steelers and Penguins are great organizations, and they will always spend money and try to get the best players to compete for the champion.
Yeah, Em.
And even the Pirates could be good, too. They're gonna win the World Series.
I was with you all the way up until that part.
How to talk to your kids about Pittsburgh sports. Tonight on DVE. AC/DC, it's the DVE Morning Show. Coming up at 7:45 today, it's the return of Mike and Jack from Greenfield's Finest Pod, Bill's buddies that he grew up with. They have a podcast all about their travails in and around Greenfield.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Honestly, it has to be the funniest podcast in Pittsburgh, just based on the conversations that we've had with them.
I mean, there's more of them. Like, only 2 of them do the show. There's 2 more of them that are on the podcast, and then they have guests. And it started as just, you know, neighborhood stories. And then they, you know, they told every single one of those stories. And then they're like, all right, let's just start talking about whatever's in the news, what's grinding our gears, things like that. And it's, I mean, it's all of the dudes that I grew up with.
All right, a taste of that coming up again at 7:45 today, and you just don't want to miss it because it's honestly some of the funniest stuff I've ever. I don't know what it is about these dudes. I just start howling as soon as they start talking. Steve Byrne also going to be live in studio 8 o'clock this morning in anticipation of tomorrow night's goddamn comedy jam. There's still some tickets left for the second show. Get them at librarymusichall.com. That is, of course, Steve Byrne, Sal Vulcano from Impractical Jokers, Roy Wood Jr. from The Daily Show, Steve Ranazzisi from The League, Haname Lee from Pitch Perfect, Gary Cannon, Bill Crawford, and more. All kinds of Penguins alums and Steelers even alums are going to be there, from what I understand.
Yeah, special guests.
It's going to be a big Pittsburgh party. You don't want to miss it. And like I said, there's some tickets left for the second show. Librarymusichall.com. Val's got your news next.
We're going to talk about if you have annoying coworkers and what exactly about them is annoying.
Also, we'll talk to Paul Bassong from the Millvale Music Festival, the music festival to go check out this weekend. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. It's going to be hot, but great free music all weekend in Millvale, in a part of town that has really been on the comeuppance. No, that's not what you say. Comeuppance.
No, it's been on the rise. I mean, it's just a really cool neighborhood and area, and they've started putting breweries down there. I mean, there's some really fun stuff to do.
Great bars too. Oh, awesome bars. Whisper Nest is great. All right, quick break. We'll be right back. DVE.
These days, there's a good chance you are your own. Live from the Don's Appliances Studios, where Pittsburgh shops for appliances, this is WDVE Pittsburgh.
Since we're heading to baseball movies, maybe you can chime in and help further an argument that Val and I have been having for 10 years, Val,
my
maybe?
God. All
maybe
right.
longer.
Here we, Since here the we movie go.
For love
out.
Of the game, for love of the game, baseball movie or chick flick?
Both. Both. It's a twofer. So every now and then a nice little genre or a movie comes across that, like, spans those two genres. There was that Jimmy Fallon movie back in, like, I don't know, 2000, I don't know, 10 years ago, whatever it was. Fever Pitch was just marketed as, like, so girls will like this, and fellas, there's also sports in it. Take your girl out for Valentine's Day. There's that movie, and then there's Trouble with a Curve. That's another good one. Where
oh, is that
like,
with
hey,
Drew Barrymore? No, she was in First
Clint Eastwood.
Oh, yeah,
Clint
yeah.
Eastwood. Hey, get this. Clint Eastwood plays kind of a grizzled guy, and the times have passed him by, and he's disillusioned
what?
With the youth out there.
Yeah, it's out of his comfort zone.
Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show.
PFT commenter from Barstool. He'll be on the show coming up at 8:15 today. Val Porter from her COVID cubicle. We're all, we have three COVIDs on the show now. I am back in the COVID protocol. So we are all in different locations once again tonight. But Bill is in the studio with Joe, but they're in different studios. So they're not even in the same room. And Steve Byrne will be in a little bit later, and Steve will hang out with Bill in that studio.
Oh, I thought we were going to put him in the third studio. Yeah, I didn't know.
Put him in the old studio. Send him to Green Tree.
Oh, I actually should text him because, you know, I know he's been here, but muscle memory, like if you haven't come onto the show in a while, you might just drive to Green Tree, which I'm shocked that I haven't done yet.
I think like the first week I started going the wrong way, like just in my neighborhood. So it was a quick fix, but just kind of like out of habit. But
right.
At any rate, the entire, our building is all full of COVID, like everybody else's building right now. It's just, you know, This variant is whooping everybody's ass, so and it apparently is pulling a Rocky II on me. So Val's got your news right now from her COVID lair.
5 minutes after 7 at DVE, here's a Channel 11 Severe Weather Center forecast.
Clouds will give way to a little sunshine this afternoon. Could catch a stray shower this morning in a high of 78. I'm Scott Harbaugh on Severe Weather Center 11.
It's 57 degrees. The news is brought to us by Keystone Basement Systems, highest rated, most trusted, KeystoneBasementSystems.com. Well, new COVID cases are on the rise across much of the U.S., so much so that around a third of the nation should be considering wearing masks, according to the experts. White House COVID coordinator Ashish Jha described the uptick as a lot during yesterday's news briefing. He blamed new virus subvariants for the increase and urged Americans to take full advantage of free rapid tests. if they work. Dr. Jha said the best way to stop the spread of COVID is with masking, testing, and full vaccinations, including booster shots. And a new analysis reveals 75% of long COVID patients were not initially sick enough to be hospitalized. Researchers determined many people who had mild or moderate COVID symptoms ended up with lingering symptoms or new health problems, despite the fact that people who have been hospitalized with COVID are at a greater risk to develop long COVID. The data is based on tens of thousands of private insurance claims from the first 4 months doctors started using a special diagnostic code for long COVID. The Department of Homeland Security says to be alert about threats from extremists on both sides of the abortion issue after the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court leak. An internal DHS memo told law enforcement partners to be prepared for threats of that type, including burning down the U.S. Supreme Court and murdering justices, members of Congress, and lawful demonstrators. There have already been recent protests against Supreme Court justices following the leak of a draft opinion which signaled the Roe v. Wade abortion decision would be overturned. Well, it's going to be 90 the next 2 days, so I guess it's a good thing that Sandcastle is set to open this weekend. Operators say Sandcastle Water Park is back with a list of improvements. Park managers are planning a full schedule of events with concerts and a day of craft brews in the pipeline for the upcoming season. You can get more information at sandcastlewaterpark.com.
I haven't been to Sandcastle in a decade. I don't think my daughter Emma has ever been to Sandcastle, which is kind of surprising, but I went a ton as a kid when it first opened and then just never really went back. I think I had a summer pass 1 year. I mean, I talked about it on the show before, but we used to use that as our pool. And now I haven't been there in forever. I wonder what it's like. I wonder if the girls would like it. I mean, they probably would. It's super fun. Yeah.
I think the last time I went to Sandcastle was the day of the OJ Bronco chase.
You just needed to go relax, get over
no,
it
all. No, I just you could remember.
Take some water slides out to take the edge off.
It's really mellow me out. I just remember that we had been there, this guy I was dating at the time, and we went home and watched the chase on television.
Bill, what was the name of the bar at Sandcastle?
Club Wet, every scumbag in the city went to that thing.
Bring back they Club
had to,
Wet.
No, they had to close that down. Are you kidding me? There was like, even though it was the summer, there was like a million Cosby sweaters or Cower sweaters, I should say.
Yeah.
Now,
gold chains.
Was it DJs? Because I remember DVE used to do stuff down there and bands would play. And I had to go down and announce bands.
Yeah, it was DJs. Like there were these two big hot tubs. There was a pool. Then there were all these volleyball courts. And it's right on the water.
Volleyball.
Yeah. So it was a rough, rough crowd. I mean, think of the worst club on the south side you could think of, and then times it by 10 and add 90 degree weather to it.
Donzies plus day drinking, jorts, and not as stringent of an entry policy.
This is like if somebody smushed Donzies, Tequila Willies, and coconuts into Sandcastle.
Coconuts.
Remember that place? Oh my God, they just dump sand in the parking lot. They're like, it's a beach. It's coconuts.
A flight attendant is credited with helping a passenger give birth on a flight to Orlando, Florida. In a Facebook post yesterday, Frontier Airlines said the passenger went into labor on a flight out of Denver. The flight attendant took the woman to the back lavatory and helped deliver the baby while the plane was diverted to Pensacola, where paramedics were waiting. The pilot says the whole crew did a great job, and Frontier says the mom gave her newborn daughter the middle name Sky.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that yesterday. I mean, if you're going to give birth, you're hoping it's not on the discount airline, right? I mean, you really, if you're about to pop, you might have to go ahead and go with a real name brand.
Mommy,
you know?
Why is my name Spirit?
Well, it's a couple of
I wonder if you have to pay extra to name your kid. I mean, you have to pay extra for everything else on that hairline.
And a couple in Louisiana, the parents of three pairs of twins, all born in the past 2 years.
We had this yesterday, too. So sorry, you were sick.
That's all right. A new survey from Quality Logo Products found 90% of Americans work alongside an annoying coworker. A survey of just over 1,900 employees focused on what they find annoying about their coworkers, including topics of conversation. The top three issues workers found annoying to discuss with other employees were politics, COVID, and religion. The top five most annoying habits from coworkers: interrupting during virtual meetings.
No, I don't know what you're talking about, because what I think people get really upset about.
Taking credit for someone else's work. Oversharing personal stories or hobbies, not doing their work, and arrogance. Study also found 68% of employees have confronted a coworker about them being annoying. annoying.
It's hilarious. An annoying intervention.
And working from home doesn't matter. 55% are annoyed with coworkers, even though they are working remotely.
I don't know how you avoid being annoyed by anybody anywhere. Like, you know, being annoyed by people is to live.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the idea that you're not going to have any rubs with anybody that you come into contact with is ridiculous.
Yeah. What's the phrase I'm having trouble conjuring right now with familiarity breeding contempt? I mean, you know, even if you like the person, after a while, you just get on each other's nerves, you know.
Sure, it's like marriage.
Sure, yeah, it's very natural. But in terms of, like, talking about things in public, we used to be more tolerant and able to just, like, let things kind of, you know, just kind of wash off our back. Why can't I think of any phrases? I am idiom-free this morning. What is...
Roll off our backs.
Thank you. But now I think we're so conditioned because of online response to, like, get triggered and go full bore 100% with as many haymakers as you can, that trying to talk about religion or politics anywhere is a bad idea. Like, that was always the thing for COVID. A bar. It was bad etiquette to bring up politics or religion in a bar. If you're with stranger, like, just don't. If you agree with the person, like, you just shouldn't do that in a bar. But now more than ever, man, people are just, there's no having a discussion anymore. It's you automatically get put into the box of the furthest extreme that might be attached to whatever ideology you hold. And everybody is either with you or against you. It's like, I didn't want to rise to this level of conversation. It's like Bill Burr and I were going back and forth a couple of years ago on text over Steelers versus Patriots.
I was
totally kidding. He was getting into this, like, he's like, dude, you guys are all, like, on steroids the whole time. Like, we're the cheaters, please, you know. And I thought he was kind of kidding around. I was not at the level. He finally called me and started yelling, and I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Dude, like, we're on two. Like, I don't care. I am totally not vested in this as you. I didn't realize you were. And we had to have, like, a, hey, we have to come to the equal sort of level of intensity agreement here. I am not nearly as pissed off about this as you seem to be. I was kidding around. And now everybody in every argument goes to Bill Burr at 10.
Yep. With Burr, I'm like, dude, let's relieve the tension. Let's talk about religion and politics, please. Not talk about the Steelers and the Patriots anymore. I'm shopping for my children. I mean, I had a feud with him that went on for weeks.
Oh, where he's MFing
me through text. I'm like, dude, I'm Christmas shopping for my girls. Can we stop this? He's calling me. He's saying crazy stuff. He's hanging up on me. I'm calling him back. I'm like, Bill, I swear to God, like, what happened, dude?
He's the best, dude. He's so freaking funny. But, like, did you see what he said yesterday? He got everybody pissed off on his podcast.
No.
He's like, I'm walking around Sacramento, and he's like, you know, some cities are as advertised. He's like, it's like check cashing place, Scientology. And he's like, you know what? For my money, he's like, Scientology, maybe they get a little bit of a bad rap. He goes, they got a couple of disgruntled sitcom stars, but where are the bodies? He's like, I'm a Catholic, okay? He's like, I'm an ex-Catholic. We got a lot of bodies. We got them stacked up. We got the scandal of the priests. We got the crusades. Mm-hmm. We got stats. I'm a sports guy. I need stats. Mm-hmm. So where's my Scientology stats? I hear a lot of room. And then people went off on him because they're like, you don't know how bad Scientology. Like, Leah Remini was hitting him up on Twitter. Like, everybody was coming after Burr,
really?
Trying to explain to him how bad Scientology was. And again, this goes to the conversation we're having. His intensity and investment in that conversation was a 2. He was making a joke. It was just an observation. He's joking around. These people are coming off the top rail.
So like, this is actually wonderful because Burr is getting burred.
Yeah. The internet is Burr now. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, it's everybody at his most intense all the time.
Oh, I love him. Just don't ever bring up the Steelers around him. And
oh, dude,
the cheating, Spygate. Yeah, don't do it.
Or Ulf Sabelson.
Oh, especially Ulf. I was at a hockey game at the old Mellon Arena with him, and I guess Ulf was in the Ring of Honor or something. He was
in a tent. We were playing the Rangers, and he was a coach with them.
So, yeah, I think it was. Yeah, so whatever team he was a coach on, and they acknowledged him in the crowd, Burr starts going off. Like, it just started erupting out of him. And I was like, dude, we are in the middle of a section that you don't really want to be saying that stuff. Like, Ulf might have family here.
I remember that. Yeah, you picked him up from the airport and came right to the game, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
At any rate, so when discussing things publicly, you almost have to be like, is it okay if we talk about this? You have to kind of do like the George LaRocque. Do you want to talk politics? Mm-hmm. Good luck.
Well, the man behind the famous Fyre Festival no longer in prison. TMZ reports Billy McFarland is out of prison almost a year before his 8-year sentence is up. McFarland pleaded guilty to 2 counts of wire fraud after the 2017 Fyre Festival failed in the Bahamas. Hundreds of people were left stranded with limited food and water after being promised a luxury week at an immersive music festival. The outlet also claims McFarland was moved to community confinement in 2020, where he's expected to stay until August.
How crazy is it that in the movie Inventing Anna, you learn that Anna Delvey, the other con artist of that era, was living with Fyre Festival Billy?
Like, oh, really?
That's surprising.
Oh, that makes total sense.
Lived with that dude while he was putting the festival together.
A match made in grifting heaven. I mean, I still can't believe that Ja Rule completely got out of that without any real smear to his career. I mean, well, I don't know if he's ever going to be successful in that world or in business in general. But, I mean, he just didn't skip a beat. And that dude went to jail.
And this seems to be the way we are now, maybe as a result of the bad news we've been hammered with for the last several years. The media monitoring platform NewsWhip, which discovered that people were far more into reading about Amber Heard and Johnny Depp than about Roe versus Wade, inflation, and climate change combined. The study found the sensational celebrity trial got an average of 508 social media interactions for each published article over the past month. So that's likes, comments, shares. Joe Biden only got 170 interactions, while hot issues like Roe v. Wade only got 141 per story. Inflation, 71 interactions per story. Some experts do think we are turning to Johnny Depp and Amber Heard as a distraction from all the real world, real problems in the world right now.
You think? Did you see, Tammy Pescatelli tweeted this out yesterday. It was an article that Doug Stanhope wrote. And Stanhope and Depp have been good friends for a long time. And it's not something Stanhope talks about because, you don't want to cash in on your famous friend.
Right.
So he wrote this article, and I don't remember what outlet it was. It might have been Newsweek. I don't know. Where he basically said everybody in Johnny's orbit knew that this woman was setting him up for a huge blackmail. And he said that Johnny Depp revealed it to him and his girlfriend on the day that supposedly the big incident happened, that she was basically blackmailing him. And so he wrote this basically long defense of Johnny. He said, I didn't want to say anything before because it just sounds like I'm cashing in on my famous friend and trying to pull myself up, you know, in the midst of his having this terrible time right now. I would be, it would be seen as me trying to benefit from it. And he said, you know what, that's my ego talking, the hell with it. I don't care if Johnny gets mad. I don't care if anyone gets bad. And then he sort of just stated his case for why he thought this was all a bunch of nonsense that Amber Heard was making up, and claimed everybody in his, in Johnny Depp's camp felt the same way, but nobody had the balls to say it to him because he was so in love with Amber Heard. Now, you read that and it sounds like, okay, this sounds like a lot of what I'm hearing from the trial. But on the other hand, you know, Amber Heard has friends and they're not as famous or have a big comedy following like Doug Stanhope. And they're saying the same kind of things on her side. So it's hard to know who to believe. And we talked about it yesterday, Val, when you were off. It's tough because the subject matter is so serious.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So you don't want to joke about abuse, but like all of the details about it are, it's just hard to not like goof on it. Cause it's like, we're trying to figure out who pooped in the bed, who's snorting coke out of a tampon applicator. You know, who is she banging the night this happened that wasn't Johnny Depp? Was it James Franco or Elon Musk? What reprehensible celebrity was she with while they were married? And, you know, both of them having trouble on the stand remembering things they just don't want to remember and then getting housed by the other person's lawyer. So, like, from a salacious entertainment aspect, this trial's off the charts.
It's got it all.
Yeah.
And there still is a really, really great possibility that they're both terrible.
I think that's it. Really.
I think like he's an alcoholic who's completely and totally blown out off of drugs and alcohol, and she's a little crazy.
Right. Yeah.
Finally.
You know, he's a little bit country. She's a little bit rock and roll. You know, this is a tale as old as time.
Concert featuring former Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown has been rescheduled. Performance venue Enclave, which I believe is formerly the Rex, has announced the show will happen now on June 3rd. I think it was supposed to happen tonight. Tickets for the original tonight or tomorrow. I'm not sure which day it was. Tickets will be honored. He is expected to perform music from his recently released album entitled Paradigm.
He has an album, dude.
He rescheduled his show for the same night as The Ramble. So I just want to say that we will honor any Antonio Brown tickets that night. Like, if you bring a ticket for Antonio Brown's show to Mr. Smalls on June 3rd, you're allowed to come in. Now, I've had Chad Tyson reach out to AB because he blocked me to see if he wanted to come over and perform on The Ramble that night. And I figured we could just, like, put together one of his tunes and have AB join us for the night.
Nice.
I want to perform the night they drove old Drixie down.
The Ramble is back. It's June 3rd at Mr. Smalls. Get your tickets now at Mr. Smalls box office on their website. It's going to be awesome. We got Paul Luke, Rob James from the Clarks, of course. We've got Josh Rabanis from Meeting of Important People, Chet Vincent, Molly Alphabet, Addie Twig, Jen Wirtz, Liz Berlin. The list goes on and on. Yeah, Melinda Calazzi's going to be there. Kenny Stockard, Sierra Sellers is going to be a part of it. Max Somerville from Recluse. There's just so many great artists and a couple of special guests that we have lined up that we can't talk about just yet. But you don't want to miss this one. It's going to be June 3rd. It might be AB. Maybe it'll be Mike Wallace. Maybe I'm going old school for Young Money.
Yeah. Bill. Head to head.
What's that?
Lev?
No. We can't afford Lev Bell. No, he wants so much money. It's amazing.
He's eating hoagies in Miami.
We're like, dude, the other singers are making like, they're doing well, but we can't pay you that much. Casey Eaton's eating hoagies in Miami. Do you remember that video of him with the enormous stripper twerking on him? It was the best.
Just him on a jet ski in the, like when he, that year he sat out, I was like, how big is Lev? And then from then on, he scrubbed all of his workout videos. He used to put out the most prolific workout videos where he was doing crazy speed drills. And then every drill after that was in slow motion because he lost his speed.
You look like Damon Wayans in The Great White Hype at the end, where he's just like, he's not worried. He's running to the ice cream truck. Like, that was his training. All right, let's do a quick break. We'll come back. Mike's got your sports. DVE.
From the Bridgeville Appliance Weather Center, Bridgeville Appliance is hiring now. Inquire at bridgevilleappliance.com.
This report is sponsored by Universal Windows Direct.
Cloudy to partly cloudy today. Slight chance of a rain shower.
Sports. You know, I take exception with categorizing that deer as confused. They don't know if the deer is confused. They might be perfectly happy to be where it is right now.
They didn't know where to paint it, though. Oh!
Jimmy Miller.
Oh, way to go, Jimmy Miller. It's not just traffic. It's entertaining traffic. Sports this hour brought to you by Dormont Appliance. Pirates beat the Cubs yesterday 3-2, which isn't that big a deal. Jack Suwinski, outfielder, hit a home run. It actually ended up being the deciding run, but that wasn't that big a deal. What was a big deal is that Jack Suwinski, the outfielder who hit the game-winning home run, is from Chicago, went to Taft High School in Chicago, and had friends and family aplenty on hand to see him hit the game-winning home run in Wrigley Field against the Cubs for the Buccos. Pirates.com caught up with Jack Suwinski's father, Tim. Here's what he had to say about the moment last night at Wrigley Field. Quote, "All of his friends are here. Everybody from high school, grade school, everybody's here. We grew up here. This is our field. You're in your own place. And like they say, there's no place like home."
Amazing. Great story.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And little cherry on top of the sundae, he got the ball because the tradition at Wrigley Field is when the opposition hits a home run, the fans throw it back.
Throw it back.
So he got the home run ball that he hit at Wrigley Field that he can now give to his family as a memento. He's a former fifth-round pick of the Padres in 2016, rookie with the Pirates, only hitting .188, but a home run at Wrigley Field with his family there to see it. Randy, it's been said before, I'll say it again, it is hard not to be romantic about baseball.
Well, like I always say with the Buccos, easy to root for the players a lot of times.
Oh,
you
know, yeah.
You can hate the owner, but there's a lot of player stories that are easy to root for. I'm coming around on Vogelbach, too. As far, like, oh, I don't know why.
Favorite pirate.
I don't just love that guy for being a big lummox on the base pass, but that Suwinski story, it reminds me of Marino's goal in Boston when he started. Like, any time that somebody gets to live out their dream in front of their family like that in their hometown, that's the stuff that every kid thinks about when you're like,
everyone. You
know, Casey hit the home run at PNC Park. Wasn't it the first home run
first
there?
First one. Yeah, first one.
Yeah, he'll have that forever. I mean,
and he doesn't have that ball, though, or maybe he got it, but that jag in the stands kept it from him.
Yeah, remember he wanted like a signed Ken Griffey bat and all this. Oh, no, that wasn't good enough. He wanted money, I think, on top of
it. Yeah, cash, jerseys.
We got to figure that out.
Memorabilia.
Yeah. If I was ever in that situation, I'd hold out for a lot of cash.
Yeah. I don't know. It depends on who it is. No? Yeah. On Casey, it'd be easy to give it up to.
It would, but I, you know, just player X. You know, you're making $7.5 million
a year. Bryce Harper, I'd be like, cough up, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Cough it up.
I'm sitting in right field, you know, not the most expensive seats because that's where I belong. What's it worth to you? Bucks are off today. They've got the Cardinals at PNC Park tomorrow. Steelers conducted a second interview with Eagles Vice President of Player Personnel, Andy Weidel, as they continue running back the prime candidates to replace Kevin Colbert as the team's GM. Great stuff in the Stanley Cup playoffs last night. Isn't that the case every night? 2-1, the Hurricanes beat the Rangers in overtime. Carolina getting one late in the third. And then early in OT, our old buddy Ian Cole, his second career playoff goal, just threw it at the net and it went in off Rangers defenseman Ryan Lindgren. He tipped it by Shesterkin perfectly. Nothing play, nobody in front, and the defense just backed up and stood in front of the goalie. Why do they do that?
You can't stop Ian Cole. You can only hope to contain him.
Cole's other career playoff goal in 104 career playoff games. Game 4 against the Sharks in 2016. A 3-1 win for the Penguins on the way to the Cup. Ian Cole, a couple of Stanley Cups here. And, you know, if they had a guy that could do what Ian Cole does as a defenseman, they might still be playing.
He's so good. And did you see his beard?
And they're not.
I mean, he already looks like he's been lost at sea for months. It's the it's the first game of the second round.
He was tremendous here. He played a hard-hitting, scrappy type of game. He knew who he was and what he could do and what he couldn't. He was great with the media.
Yep.
Really, really clever, really funny, always accessible. Good for Ian Cole. The other game last night, 9-6, the Flames over the Edmonton Oilers. Connor McDavid's four-point night, not enough for Edmonton. A couple more series resume tonight. Tampa tries to go up 2-0 at Florida. And Colorado tries to go up 2-0 at home against St. Louis, guys.
Mike proceeded with your sports. Val's got news coming up top of the hour. Val, what are you going to be talking about?
We're going to talk about how often you actually feel good.
This will be a short conversation.
Steve Byrne will be in the 8 o'clock hour. PFT commenter from Pardon My Take, 8:15. But when we come back, folks, don't turn that dial. It's the return of the duo from Greenfield's Finest Pod, Mike and Jack from, I would say Jack and Mike, but I don't think they'd like to hear that, especially, well, Mike probably wouldn't like that. They're on from Greenfield's Finest Pod, and it don't get more Pittsburgh than these guys. That's next. DVE.
We're trying to stimulate.
Bill Crawford and Bill, once again, you know, back by popular demand from the Greenfield's Finest Pod. It's your buddies, Mike and Jack here. I don't know what the nom de plume. I don't want to screw up. Stanky, do we?
Yep.
All right. But you're professional name's not Stanky, Mike.
No, I go by Mike Zeidel, and I changed Stink to Z-Bird because Stink wasn't working with the chicks for like 32 years. So we went to Z-Bird.
You rebranded.
Yeah.
You know, all right, that's fine. Now, Jack, you're in a normal office looking place right now.
Sure, I am. Yep.
Yeah, but Mike, Mike is not. Where will you describe where you are?
Yeah, I'm in the back of the Kogo's break room. There's people behind me. They're just filled with beer and napkins and salt and pepper shakers, but they let me use it. Or I don't know if they did let me, but I'm back here.
All right. So you don't work at Kogo's. You're just
No. I'm a semi-professional landscaper. So, you know,
I think if you live in Greenfield long enough, you just get to go into the break room of Kogo's. That's one of the benefits.
Absolutely. I've been here long enough. The statue's next, but right now I'll take this.
All right. So fellas, you know, everybody was really intrigued with the Greenfield's Finest podcast. Last time we had you guys on, tons of feedback. So let's get right into it. Jack, what's grinding your gears this week?
So my gear grinder is just the whole doctor's office experience. I have a new doctor that I recently signed up for, and I made an appointment like months ago. For an EKG, I'm turning the big 4-0, so he wanted to do an EKG. Mm-hmm. And I got some poison ivy. So, like, I haven't been to this particular office yet. He has two different offices. So I got some poison ivy, and I gave them a call for a prescription. And they're like, well, hey, you're supposed to be here in a half hour. And I'm like, well, a little reminder would have been nice. I made this appointment 6 months ago. I could get up there. So it's not in the best part of town. It's not in the worst part of town. It rhymes with Carrick. So I drive up to old Carrick, and I'm looking for this building, and I can't, you know, you're looking for like a doctor's office. I can't find it. It says I'm there. I look to my left, and there's like an old Long John Silver's. And I'm like, this can't be it. Sure enough, it is. I walk in. It looks like a pain clinic. There's
a pain
smells clinic. Like hush puppies and fish. And I'm just looking around. I'm like, where am I at? So I sit down, fill out some paperwork, and I'm sitting there for about an hour. The lady takes me back, and she was like, well, you're supposed to be here for an EKG, but you have poison ivy. I'm like, yeah, I just need a prescription. And she's like, well, I can't do that EKG. If you got poison ivy, I get poison ivy too. And I'm thinking in my head, like, man, you're like a nurse. Like, that's like your job. She was like, well, I ain't getting poison ivy. And she sounded like she was the former manager at the Long John Silvers, and we got a spot for you.
They kept her on staff.
Yeah, like, we'll find something for you. Don't worry about it.
Grandfathered in, yeah.
Yeah, so she won't do the EKG on me, and we're just now it's just like awkward because I'm waiting for the doctor. She's telling me she won't do it, and I'm like, dude, I'm going to make it 6 more months, I think. Don't worry about the EKG. Like, this poison ivy's driving me crazy. So we're sitting there, and I'm just looking around the office because I'm intrigued, and I'm like, dude, that's where the fryer definitely used to be. That's, like, where the walk-in cooler was. Like, it just smells of Long Johns. So the doctor finally comes and gets me. He doesn't even take me into, like a office. He just takes me into, his office, not a doctor's room, not an examination room, just his doctor's office. So I'm sitting there, and I'm telling him what's going on. He's like, oh, wait one second. Cuts me off. So I'm thinking he's like going through my chart to like look. It's like, you know, just to see, check it out. The dude pulls out a Chinese menu and he's ordering lunch. He's looking for his lo mein after he sat me there for an hour. So I'm like, man, this is like, this, show me a little bit of respect. So now as he's ordering his lunch, I start looking around the room and I see like merch hanging up. It's like doctor's merch. It says, if doctor, I'm not going to blow up his spot, but if doctor can't fix it, nobody can. And it was a t-shirt with a hammer going through a nail. And I was like, they're selling doctor merch up in Carrick? I literally couldn't believe it. Dude, and I was,
who's I'm your not, insurance? Like, listen,
we're from Greenfield, Carrick and Greenfield, very similar neighborhoods.
Right.
But yeah, it's just the long. If you, I need to take a picture of this building. It's old Long John's, like the gray siding, the everything, the smell, the lady they grandfathered in. It was truly an unbelievable experience. And now I'm worried that I should get like a better. He's not a bad doctor, but I'm worried I should get a better doctor. But now I have to keep him for the content for the podcast. Right, I was like, I can't give this up. This guy's gold.
No, yeah, that's the first sign that you're taking it seriously when you put your health in jeopardy in order to have more material.
He's married. But yeah, that's my gear grinder.
Dude, what kind of insurance do you have that you got to go to?
I have fantastic insurance. It's not close to my house. It makes zero sense at all why I go there. But now I'm trapped because, like, this guy's a content machine.
Well, so you got that right. Yeah. All right, Mike, let me ask you. All right, you're at the Kogos. I want you to get out of there before those people need to take a smoke break, for crying out loud. What's your gear grinder this week?
All right, this one's a little deeper than Jack. So my mom, back in the day, before she had me, she had a thing for hooking up with random dudes and not getting their name. So by chance, I don't know who my dad is. So I don't know who my dad is. I'm like 30. I'm 40 now, but at the time I was like 38. I've had some father figures and a friend. Like there's been a couple men in my life that said, you're like a son to me. And when you say that to a bastard child, we hang on to that for dear life. Like, sure. So I'm your kid now, right? That's what it means, Dad. So I worked for my best friend and his dad. So 2 years ago, we're out golfing. His dad's telling me how proud he is of me. And he says to me, you know what, Stink? You honestly, you're like a son to me. So the next day, I'm texting him, what are we doing? What's going on? Is it, can we hit the pirate game? You know, let's go do something, Dad. So he plays into the dad role, and he was a good side dad. You know what I mean? Cause I had like my girlfriend's dad. He's like my main dad, but like, he's a good side dad. So like we had a lot of common interests. We both like sports memorabilia and watching girls twerk on Instagram. So like we had a lot of common, solid common bonds. And everything's going great. And like, I can tell that he likes me and like, I'm his favorite. Well, they hire this dude, Paul, who is John's cousin. And he was like no threat at first. And next thing I know, Paul golfs more than I do. So they start going golfing and everything. And I'm like, all right, you know, that's cool. Paul's hanging out with Big John. And then I start noticing I'm not getting any more text messages. I'm not getting phone calls. And then the year before, on National Son's Day, I was in the picture. Not this year. So I'm like, wait a minute. Paul's in the picture? Paul took my spot? I'm like, how are you going to pick Paul over me? So, like, the whole winter goes by. We're laid off. We don't talk. Me and him, we don't talk. Then it comes time to go back to work. He calls me, pretends to be my friend. But now every day I go into work, I got to see him and Paul huddled up. And it's like watching your girlfriend hook up with another guy. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. Paul's okay. But, I mean, what's so great about him? He smokes cigarettes. You know what I mean? That's fun for him. So I had to undermine Paul. So I printed out all the dangers of secondhand smoking and left it right on my boss's desk. And I'm like, John. And then he came out and he was like, Stink, did you put this there? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, not only am I cooler than Paul, I was like, he's killing you. He's literally killing you by hanging out with him.
So you're trying to, you're engaging in a propaganda war to undermine your side dad's new favorite, pretend son.
And the thing is, I'm going to win this war. Like, there's no shit. I told Paul flat out, I said, dude, we work at a lot of properties with a lot of steep hills. I'd be real careful. Because, you know what I mean? I don't have a dad. So, like, you know what I mean? I'm taking this serious stuff. I started taking golf lessons to get better at golf. And then, like, you know, like, it's crazy because me and him at, like, and then last year on his birthday, his son bought him a Najee Harris autographed helmet. I bought him the sweet case to put it in. Paul didn't get him anything. You know, Paul showed up and drank and smoked cigarettes. I'm like, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, great. Paul showed up. He got all the free booze he can handle, and he smoked a half a carton of cigarettes out there. I said, what kind of fun is he? I said, you're going to pick this guy over me? That's my gear grinder.
Right? So your gear grinder is side dads who don't stay loyal.
You nailed it. You nailed it in. And like, all them side dads out there, once you tell us kids that we're like a son, you got to take the commitment more serious. Like, big brothers program. Like, I need a big brother. Like, now that I'm 40, like, I need like a 60-year-old to adopt me. Like, Mike Tomlin or like, you know, or like Billy Gardell or Franco Harris. Like, someone's going to step up and be my dad.
Why does it have to be a famous person?
Yeah, well, you know, why not? Shoot for the stars, you know? Yeah. Shoot for the stars, aim for the moon, end up somewhere in the sky. I don't know.
Man, you should put that on a t-shirt and sell it.
At a doctor's office. My
all right. Live from the break room at Kogo's, that's Mike Zidal and Jack from the Greenfield's Finest Pod. What's been going on the podcast, by the way? Everything cool over there?
We got, I'll tell you guys something. We got a huge jump in listens. The day that we were on your show, that Friday it aired, that day was our highest recorded day of listens. And we've had some good days. So, like, we've been getting, like, people calling in. We had a guy from Minnesota call in who listens to DVE. It was like, I heard you guys on DVE, loved you guys. Our listens are way up. Thank you so much for bringing us on.
Well, let me ask you this. If you like, you know, we'll be happy to start a campaign for you to get you a good side dad, maybe a 60-year-old big brother out there who's listening
Father's Day is right around the corner.
Yeah.
I'm a great gift giver. I'm a great gift giver. If you're looking for something, you know, my soon-to-be dad, my ceiling's high. You know what I mean? I'm off the drugs now. So, like, you're getting a winner.
You're getting a winner.
You're getting a winner. All the wild stuff's behind me. You know what I mean? You'd be dumb not to pick me up as a free agent right now.
All right. Well, make sure you guys check out the Greenfield Pod. And where can people stream that, Jack?
Anywhere you can listen to a podcast. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, we're on YouTube. And you can find us anywhere. But yeah, thank you guys again. It's been great, and hopefully we do this again soon.
All right, man, get that EKG. Why don't you stop at a Wendy's on your way home and get one?
Oh, man. Thanks, guys.
What did you eat?
Venue Enclave, which I believe is formerly the Rex, has announced the show will happen now on June 3rd. I think it was supposed to happen tonight. He is expected to perform music from his recently released album entitled Paradigm.
He has an album, dude.
He rescheduled his show for the same night as The Ramble. So I just want to say that we will honor any Antonio Brown tickets that night. Now, I had Chad Tyson reach out to AB because he blocked me to see if he wanted to come over and perform on The Ramble that night. And I figured we could just put together
one of his tunes and have AB join us for the night.
Nice.
I want to perform the night they drove old Drixie down.
Brandon Bellman and the DVE Morning Show.
Steve Byrne.
Oh, hello. Yeah. Hello.
Hi. Steve Byrne is live in studio. He gets the clap.
Hey, I have the gout. Barking. How are you guys doing? All right, I was diagnosed.
I want to bring up this fact that Val and I have diagnosed more people on our show with illnesses than we have a better track record than most doctors. So Steve just walks in. And he's like, dude, my foot has been killing me. I haven't been able to walk. I'm like, you got the gout. And he's like, what are you talking about? Like, were you pissed when I said that word?
Yeah, because it sounds horrific. It sounds like something you come back from Thailand with.
It's the look on your face was like, what? I got.
I'm Roy Scheider in Jaws on the beach. Z. Come again?
Well, I don't know if you do or you don't. I have friends who have it, and I know Gardell had it for a while. And basically, it's like if
Gardell's
you like
had everything.
Well, yeah. Gardell has. But he, I think, you know, he's in a better situation now, obviously. So all you have to do is get that stomach surgery and your foot should be fine.
Well, according to WebMD or you, I either have AIDS or gout. So it's like, okay, I'll take gout.
You've narrowed it down.
Yeah. I'm the Magic Johnson of gout.
I go, yeah, shellfish can set that off. And Steve's like, oh. I just ate lobster 2 nights in a row.
Yeah. I found a great lobster place.
Lobster Palooza just now.
I had bisque. I had lobster. I had tails.
And the lobster mac and cheese.
Lobster.
Your
Bubba
from dying.
Forrest Gump, but with lobster. Lobster bisque.
Lobster and oats.
Egg.
Yeah.
Lobster
Steve
oats.
Byrne is in town for the goddamn comedy jam tomorrow night. There are some tickets available for the second show, and you should get those at librarymusichall.com. Now, I want to point out Roy Wood Jr. from The Daily Show is there. We've got Sal Volcano from Impractical Jokers there. Steve Renazzisi from The League. Haname Lee from Pitch Perfect. Also, Gary Cannon, who's been in Nothing You Would Know. And Steve Byrne, of course, with our own Bill Crawford. But on that second show, where there are tickets still available. I know you're going to have some special guests. There are some people now who are jumping on, local luminaries, shall we say, that will be joining us for the evening.
Yeah, they'll be on both shows. They're coming by, and can I say the names, or am I?
It's up to you.
Keep it a surprise.
It's all how you
Maybe I'll keep
do
it a surprise.
Buddy.
I like the surprise aspect of it.
Yeah,
just understand that there's some people that you're going to flip out when they walk.
You'll be very
the
excited.
Stage.
Yeah, it's Christmas Eve. I'm not going to tell you what you got. Put your hand in the stocking. Are you a good boy or a bad boy? Yeah. And I was a bad boy. I got the gout.
Now, hold on. You're diagnosed by a DJ, so you might not have the gout.
Okay? I think it's legit.
That's what I'm going to tell the doctor, though.
It all adds up, though. Like, you guys did very simple math and came to that, and it's just so funny. Like, Steve couldn't walk on Monday.
Or Tuesday.
And didn't call his doctor, didn't do anything. He's like, I just, my foot hurts real bad.
Meanwhile, that's what I thought it was, yeah. Yep.
If that happened to me, I'd be in Minnesota at the Gout Institute getting it all checked out.
You know a little too much about the gout, by the way. You're like, have you had a shellfish recently? I'm like, how do you know this much about gout?
Because when you're a hypochondriac, you prepare yourself for any eventual ailment. You know, have it, but I recognize that, you know, I have a lifestyle that could lead me down that path because a bunch of my friends have it. My dad has had it. Like I said, Gardell always said, he's like, guys, you don't want this. And I remember Joe Bendel used to talk about it like it was the worst affliction that you could remember. That Pursuta, he had it so bad.
Oh, crippling, paralyzing. My dad used to get it bad too, because drinking doesn't help it either, Steve.
Have
you been drinking recently?
It's like, look, as long as you stay away from shellfish, masturbating, and drinking, you should be fine.
Strike three, you're out.
Take my foot. Just take it.
I'll just limp home now. Yeah.
It's a buildup of uric acid in your joints that happens, and like you can kind of keep it at bay. It's a pain in the ass. It's basically like having like joint herpes. It comes and goes.
So find out what the Valtrex of the gout is and take that.
That's right. And you'll be back biking and boating in no time.
Are you sure you're not a medical professional?
Because you're really coming at me with some jargon that I just can't comprehend. Just give it to me in layman's terms. Joint herpes. Now...
You know, in those commercials where they're telling you all the things that the drug helps with,
yeah,
and then at a certain point they start saying the side effects,
oh yeah,
and you tune out. That's when Randy drills down.
That's when Randy comes in with the nightmare scenario.
He's like, I'm locking in on this,
dude. Here's how much I'm in tune with that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
when I saw that Colbert and Kimmel had rebound COVID,
right,
I was like, damn it, I bet it's that Paxlovid drug, which I took when I had COVID. And so I'm like thinking, they said there's only 2% rebound on it, but I guarantee you it happened to them. So I test before I was going to come into the show today. Last night, I tested positive again. I got the damn rebound COVID. Same thing.
So you're like the guy that's in those movies or the documentary that puts the pieces together that no one else thinks about and discounts. And you go, no, you got red string in your basement and you're doing it all. And you crack the case, dude.
Yes. I basically have pictures of toes on my wall like they're suspects.
It's like the end of the Usual dots. Suspects. His coffee mug drops on the floor.
But he's like the Rex Ryan of like toes.
Well, here's the good news about your gat. You can take some pills and it goes away.
Yeah, I got to get those then. I got to get those.
Vicodin or what do you take?
I mean, I don't know. Actually, a lot of people do that. I'm surprised in Pittsburgh they don't give it out at the airport for as many people that probably have it just now.
Here's a Vicodin and a walking boot. Good luck.
That's why Ben was always in the walking boot. It wasn't because he was injured. He had gout.
Yeah.
Well, we got PFT commenters going to join us in about 5 minutes. Val has a quick news update for you.
Here's a Channel 11 Severe Weather Center forecast.
Clouds will give way to a little sunshine this afternoon. Could catch a stray shower this morning in a high of 78. I'm Scott Harbaugh in Severe Weather Center 11.
It's 59 degrees now at DVE. The news is brought to us by Window Nation. Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman will soon resume his job duties after getting a pacemaker on Tuesday, which was also the day he won the Democratic Party's primary election as a candidate for U.S. Senate. Under state law, Senate Chair Pro Tempore Jake Corman had temporarily assumed the role of vice governor since last Friday when Fetterman suffered a stroke. Corman had been authorized to serve as lieutenant governor until May 23rd. City of Pittsburgh set to host another Pittsburgh Opens event this evening. It's 4:30 to 8 o'clock at PPG Plaza. Live music, food vendors. They're going to have a parade celebrating the minor league basketball champion Steel City Yellow Jackets. Didn't know that was a team.
Didn't know that was a team.
They're all part of the entertainment plans. Attendees have a chance to win pirate tickets and will get a downtown Pittsburgh edge card, good for offers and discounts at over 40 participating businesses. A Venezuelan man is the oldest living man. Guinness World Records crowned Juan Vicente Moro with the record just days before he's set to turn 113. He was born in 1909 and has expanded his family to include 11 children, 41 grandchildren, 18 great-grandchildren, and 12 great-great-grandchildren. He says throughout his life, he's learned the important things are the love of God, the love of family, and that we must get up early to work. Yeah, he's like the first world's oldest that hasn't said, I drink a Harvey Wallbanger every day.
Val, what is in a Harvey Wallbanger?
I have no idea, but it sounds like a drink that a 13-year-old person
some wall.
In the 70s, it seemed like there was a bunch of cocktails that had guys' names, like a Tom Collins, a Harvey Wallbanger. And now it sounds like those guys all got canceled. Like, whatever they were, they also included, like, Bill Cosby putting a roofie in it at the end of it.
They sound like the first three guys in the Houston 500.
Yeah, right.
Do you remember that video? Back in the Sorry, guys.
A Harvey Wallbanger is vodka, Galliano, and orange juice. Or is it Galliano? How do you say that?
I had that in my left foot. Idea.
Galliano. You're right. Galliano, and you're right. It's a liqueur. It's very citrusy. The Harvey Wallbanger is very citrusy.
With all the stuff going on in Russia right now, I don't even feel comfortable ordering a Moscow Mule anymore.
No, it's you know,
got to put that on hold.
Yeah. Or you'll get
a woman. A woman accused of pooping in a Wichita store has been identified.
Hold on, let me lie down and point my toes here. Say that one more. Is this, please let this end with Amber Heard.
Wichita police say the woman walked into a beauty supply store on
this
May 10th
you do it.
And allegedly just pooped in the middle of the aisle. Investigators say the offender destroyed 8 wigs during the incident.
That's a lot of wiping. Wow. What is, tell you what.
Is she like a cat? Just like, how do you destroy? She's on the floor, I assume,
nine
right? How
are you? Mullets you wasted on this?
We got the she traveling like yaggers a rhino. Coming in.
What are they going to do?
Bill, she poops like a rhino with her tail going and just flings it all over the I mean, 8 wigs. Like, that's how I'm going to start grading the, you know, whatever's about to happen in the bathroom. Like, I got to go really bad. This is a 5 wigger. I'll be back.
Just, you got to find the straight hair, right?
Yeah.
You can't do an afro wig. That's
beating the previous record of.
I don't know. Yeah. On the line right now from Barstool Sports, Pardon My Take podcast, it's our friend PFT Commenter, brought to you by Yingling. Bring the goods. PFT, 5 wigger, or no, that was an 8 wigger. Have you heard of such an explosion requiring that many wigs?
Yeah, no, I've not actually done that. I can't think of anything worse to use to wipe your butt than like human hair. That to me seems like for anybody out there that has long hair, I had to learn this lesson the hard way about like, I don't know, 8 years ago. That's the last thing you don't want. You want to keep all long hairs away from your butthole. I still remember the first shower that I ever took when I'm just scrubbing down. I'm like, what's this? I keep pulling it out. It's like, wait, is this a? It's like a clown taking a handkerchief out of his pocket. It's something that you want to. It's something that you want to keep away from there at all costs.
Put it in the bun.
Yeah, exactly. Tie it up.
So I know you guys have had Jersey Jerry on the podcast a lot recently, and he's a huge Steeler fan. But it seems to me like he crossed the line from being a fan to he's an actual bona fide stalker who is somehow being rewarded with getting to meet his heroes.
Jersey Jerry is a unique individual. He was reading us all of his DMs that he has to TJ Watt. I think he DMs a lot of other Steelers players. And I was telling him, like, man, this sounds a little bit like Stan from Eminem. He like used to DM TJ Watt like once every month or so. Be like, hey, TJ, big fan, Jersey Jerry here. I'm not like all the other fans. I think we'd be good friends. It seriously, I was waiting for Dider to come on in the chorus and give me a break between all the DMs that he had. But listen, Jersey Jerry, he's a dedicated guy. I think he means well. I don't think that he's out there to hurt anybody unless you stump him for an autograph, in which case he'll go all out against you. But I know that you guys have thought about having him on the show. We don't know if Jersey Jerry is ready for live radio. I think he's best. Jersey Jerry's best. He's best experienced with like a 15-second delay at the very, very least. So I don't know what your situation there is, but we're looking out for your FCC license.
I do appreciate
that. We're
going to
protect him for a little bit, and maybe at some point when we feel like he's rehabilitated, ready to be released into the wild, we can make that happen. But right now, we're still working. It's a day-to-day thing.
When he becomes Vermont Jerry, let's have him on.
Yes. Ben and Jerry. Yeah, then we're good.
Now, I know both of our hockey teams have been eliminated, and you were shirtless at the game a week ago. Is that your first time being at a sporting event with no shirt on?
I can't tell if that's a serious question. That's like I'm more frequently shirtless than not at sporting events. Typically, now
you're the Bert Kreischer of sports fans.
Yeah, listen, it's more comfortable to take your top off sometimes. Like let the girls breathe. That's what I always say. And I was up in Wisconsin actually earlier this year. This is my second time this year being shirtless at a sports game. I think I've only been to like 3. So it was fun. It was a good time. I enjoyed being there and being – the seats were incredible, actually. We were right behind the bench watching –
Yeah, you were wearing a bikini top behind the Panthers bench.
Well, here's the deal. We make stupid bets a lot of part of my take, and somehow I don't even remember how we got there, but the bet was going to be whichever team was losing between me and Jake. Jake's a fan of the Florida Panthers. I'm a fan of the Washington Capitals. Whichever team was losing had to take their shirt off and put on a bikini top right up against the glass. And then that bet morphed into, hey, you know, that guy in the office that has a pair of fake boobs that just sit on his desk, you also have to put those on and then put the bikini top over that. So I'm trying to smuggle the fake boobs into Capital One Center. And somebody that listens to our show was working security, and they pulled me aside, and they make me take my shirt off to see what I've got on underneath. And then they see I've just got boobs on, and they're like, wait, where are your tickets? Oh, you're going to be a front row? Yeah, you're definitely going to try to put those on TV. So they confiscated my boobs. So I was a little bit upset about that, because I wasn't going to do anything disgusting. It was just for, you know, guys being dudes, natural bet. So it was a good time. Wore the bikini top without the boobs in it, pressed up against the glass, because you always see something like that in the Stanley Cup playoffs. There's always somebody. And I don't want to say, like, it's not the woman's fault for being on TV and having, like, her cleavage exposed. It's the camera guy's fault, because sports camera guys are the horniest people in the world. They just spend most of their time scanning the crowd during every break in the action, trying to find, like, look, check it out. Wow, it's an attractive woman. The fans at home will love looking at this. So that's why that's kind of what the inspiration was for me to be behind the glass wearing those boobs and wearing the bikini. Unfortunately, security did come over to me in between the third period and overtime. They said, sir, like, I know it's not a rule, but just as a favor to us, can you put your shirt back on? That was – at that point, I felt very bad. That felt disrespectful.
Yeah, it's almost sad.
It's not ticket policy, but just know you're frightening the children. Can you please put your top on? And so I had to acquiesce at the last second.
If I was betting on, pardon my take, and I was trying to figure out who had the best chances of mispronouncing a name, I would take Billy Football, and I don't care what the odds are. The other day, and I don't know when you guys recorded this, it was this week, Billy Football had an all-timer, and I'll let you reveal what the name was and how badly he botched it.
Yeah, so who would you guys say is the best golfer of all time? Just curious, like, in terms of major championships.
Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah, so yeah. That's what any normal person would say. Billy Football, I guess, has never heard or watched a golf broadcast in his life, because he was talking about the Saudi tour and paying Jack Nicklaus $100 million to be the head, or at least the commissioner, of the new Saudi tour, which he turned down. And he thought that his name was Jack Nicklaus, or Jack Nicklaus, like Jack Nicklaus, Laus, like German. Jack Nicklaus. And I don't want to make fun of him, because you can tell that he learned that word by reading it, not by hearing. So at least he read something. Yeah. But at the same time, like, sometimes Billy's pronunciations are funny and we roll with it. Other times we have to be like, Billy, listen, you know you're on the number one sports podcast in the United States, and, like, this, you're a member of the sports media, and the fact that you don't know who Jack Nicklaus is could reflect poorly on everybody. But then it's also beautiful and innocent, because he's got, like, nine excuses at the ready at any given time. And so he went through, he just unloaded the clip on excuses, and he is the goat of excuses. So I think the first one was, well, usually when I watch golf with my family, we put it on mute. Okay, that's a psycho move, just first of all. Like, the only reason to watch golf on TV is to have the sound on so that Jim Nance can lull you to sleep.
Yeah, it's the quietest sport available.
We watch golf with the sound off because we like to listen to the local radio broadcast of the golf tournament. and then after that, he was like, "Well, no, it's actually Jack Nicklaus's fault for changing the pronunciation of his name when his grandfather came over like hundreds of years ago in the United States, he allowed himself to be anglicized. And we're like, no, I don't think so, Bill. He's like, well, no, I'm actually pronouncing it the right way. He's pronouncing it the wrong way.
Oh,
and then
the
we're
best.
Like, no, I think Jack Nicklaus knows how to pronounce his own name. And also, if you listen to the Masters every single year when they announce him to tee off the entire tournament, I think he instructs the starter on what to say. Or do you think Jack Nicklaus is like actually walking up to the tee box every year at Augusta and the announcer says, Jack Nicklaus, and Jack is like walking up to the tee being like, they mispronounced it again. It's Nicklaus. I've told him a million times. At the end, Billy's, his final excuse was just like, well, golf is stupid. If you know how to pronounce golf, you're an idiot anyways, because it's not a real sport.
Well, look, there are some sports names that defy grammatical logic. Brett Favre is F-A-V-R-E. It's Favre. I can only assume that growing up in Mississippi, there was just so many dyslexics in his, family's upbringing. They just all went with Favre. But Plexico Burress was another one. It's spelled Plaxico, but pronounced Plexico.
Yeah, that was a weird one. I think that if you played football in like the late 90s, or just all throughout the 90s and like through the early 2000s, your name was whatever John Madden said it was. That's kind of how it went. So like, you can only correct John Madden like, I don't know, probably twice. And then if he doesn't change his pronunciation of it, it's like, well, I guess it's Favre now. I guess the R comes before the V.
And he's like the guys at Ellis Island when you get there. Like he, no matter how many times you try to correct him, if they stamp it, you're screwed.
Exactly. No, that's a great analogy. He is the modern day first of Ellis Island, or he was. And yeah, you want to correct that guy. It's like your name probably sounds so much cooler coming out of his mouth. So it's like, listen, whatever you say goes here, John. I'm happy to be along for the ride.
PFT commenter, always a pleasure. Brought to you by Yingling this morning on the DB Morning Show. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a great week, guys.
Right on, you too. When we come back, more with Mike Pursuta. Steve Byrne live in studio. We'll talk to Paul Besong from the Millvale Music Festival, an all-free, kick-ass local music festival going on this weekend, DVE.
From the Bridgeville Appliance Weather Center, Bridgeville Appliance is hiring now. Inquire at bridgevilleappliance.com.
This report is sponsored by Duncan.
Cloudy to partly cloudy today. Slight chance of a rain shower, high of 79. Partly cloudy with scattered showers tonight, dropping down to 63. Partly cloudy.
By Bridgeville Appliance. Pirates beat the Cubs yesterday 3-2. And it was a huge night for Jack Suwinski, the outfielder / Chicago native who hit the game-winning home run. But also a special night for a great friend of the DVE Morning Show, Jim Trudinich, otherwise known as Jimmy T.
Jimmy T.
Wrapping up the final road trip in a 33-year association with the Pirates. Jimmy, the longtime director of baseball communications, he's the PR guy. And they announced in February that he's transitioning to a role as the Pirates historian, which I think is very significant for a couple of reasons. One, they don't have one. And two, the Pirates actually have a rich and storied history and tradition, which a lot of people probably don't know about because they haven't done very well for a long time now, and people just don't get it. The new generation doesn't get the litany of championships and Hall of Famers and the legacy of great baseball here in Pittsburgh. Jim Trudinich, the perfect guy to start bringing that back to life, and the Cubs honored him last night. They had him up on the scoreboard. Congratulations. They gave him the number 33, off that handheld scoreboard at Wrigley, where they put the visiting the numbers of the pitchers go up on the out of town score. They gave him the number 33, the slate or whatever you call it that hangs on that scoreboard.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's classic.
Yeah, special night for a special guy, Jim Trudinich, always available and helpful. And a guy who never passed up an opportunity to go see Pearl Jam if he was on the road with the Buccos and the schedules coincided. But good friend of the show for a long time.
For so many years.
Congratulations. All honors and accolades well deserved. He's not front and center like a player. But, Randy, the guys who cover the team on a daily basis know and appreciate Jim Trudinich.
I love Jimmy T. I've known him for 20 years. He has always been such a good friend. And I don't think it's just exclusive to the DB Morning Show.
he was a great ambassador for that team through some of the toughest years. And the thing I liked about him is he would get on our ass if he thought we were being overboard. Like, if he thought we were going overboard, he'd get pissed. He'd be like, "What the? Come on. Give me a break." You know, he would get pissed at us, and we'd be like, "Ah, Jimmy, we're just poking fun." And he'd be like, "You're not being fair, and here's why." So, like
he wanted fairness.
Yeah, and we would, a friend, you could be like, you know, go back and forth a little bit. He'd be like, "Ah, whatever." And, you know, he understands the game. But nobody had more passion and love for the Pirates and the organization than Jimmy T. And he was put in, you know, it's like, you know, loving, you know, ocean liners and being stationed on the Titanic, you know? It's like... Yeah. He had to commit. No, it's going to be a great ride. Right. Like, we can see
first couple days were awesome. Come on.
And he doesn't have the gout.
No, he doesn't have the gout. No, he's gout on the free. Bases, runs the bases pain free. But Mike, to your point about the historian angle, you know, from 1960 to 1980, you know, there is so much importance that derived from the Pirates organization. It had an impact on modern Major League Baseball, particularly the influence of some of those great players, most notably, of course, Clemente and the impact that had. Like, you can never let that legacy lose any steam.
I'll take you even a little bit to a little more recent history. The 70s. I kind of grew up in the 70s, right? I was born in 1961. So by the 70s, I'm well aware of sports and everything and, you know, in it up to my neck. As a fan, a little kid, they won 6 division championships and 2 world championships in the 70s. When they didn't make the playoffs, I was like, "Hey, what's going on here? What? Did the world start spinning in the other direction? This is not how it's supposed to be. What do you mean they finished 3rd in the NL East? Come on." Like,
right.
They were a machine. You know, and even take it back to Honus Wagner and, you know, the very beginnings of baseball. The Pirates, again, a rich and storied legacy.
And Bing Crosby used to own the team.
Not only that, he filled in as announcer on a few occasions.
Did he really?
Ball 3. No, he actually did that. That's amazing. Jim's a great guy. They need a Pirates historian. They're going to have a Pirates Hall of Fame. They're celebrating the introductory class this August. And that's something that's going to continue. They need to start shining a light on this stuff again. Jim, my only suggestion, well, I shouldn't say only because you know me, but my first suggestion to you as your in your new role as Pirates historian, Ralph Kiner needs more than his hands, okay?
Finish the statue.
Ralph Kiner, one of the great players, not just in Pirate history, in Major League Baseball history, on and off the field. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, Google Ralph Kiner.
Steve's statue would just be a foot.
And shellfish and whiskey.
And a Permane sandwich.
And a Permane Brothers sandwich, absolutely, yeah.
But congrats to Jim Trudinich on a storied career as in the Pirates Public Relations Department, and good luck as the Buccos historian. Bucks are off today.
Yeah, that's awesome.
They've got St. Louis tomorrow night at PNC Park, and it is... New Pirates historian, Jim Trudinich, I'm sure is well aware. Adam Wainwright owns the Pirates. He's pitching for the Cardinals tomorrow. He's not going to give up very many, if any, runs. He's going to strike out about the entire team, and the Cards are probably going to win.
Well, I hope that this means we can still have beers with Jimmy T down in Bradenton on a future spring training trip, because that was always a highlight of the trip. But I've always said there's so many people in that Pirates organization that I rooted for. Like, I wanted the Pirates to win for them, and he was one of those guys. You know, Steve Blass was another one, and Greg Brown, and all the guys who worked so hard for so many years through so much futility, and their love never waned for that team.
Never. Never. Perseverance, man. And, again, this historian thing, I can't wait to see how he attacks this and what they come up with this Pirates Hall of Fame and what that induction's going to be like in August, because they can go a long time before they run out of guys, man. People, probably the current generation, has no idea.
Steve Burns hanging out with us right now. The goddamn Comedy Jam. It's tomorrow night. There are 2 shows. The first one is sold out. There are a handful of tickets left for the second show. Get them before they're gone at librarymusichall.com. We'll have more with Steve coming up. Plus, Paul Besong from the Millvale Music Festival, huge free music fest with 300 bands.
in Millville this weekend, and it's going to be a beautiful weekend in Pittsburgh. So we'll talk to Paul about that and all the details you need to know about how to best navigate one of the biggest music festivals in the country going on in Millville this weekend. DVE.
Expand your mind.
I can dig that, man.
Well, we expand the show.
That's one of my favorite songs. Awesome.
Andy Bauman in the DVE Morning Show. Bill Crawford, Matt Porter, Mike Pursuta, Joe Rock, our producer, and of course, Steve Byrne.
Hello.
Live in studio with us this morning.
Hi, Steven.
In anticipation of tomorrow night's goddamn comedy jam.
Very excited.
At the Library Music Hall at Carnegie. It's
I got the list.
LibraryMusicHall.com to get tickets.
I got the list of songs from the comics. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
So I got a production email from from Joel Josh. I can't believe the song that Roy Wood Jr. is singing. Like, I would have never in a million years picked that.
Well, Mike will be very happy.
Yes. Well,
that's a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I'm not
going
to say anything.
That's,
yeah.
I mean, that's for anybody that listens to the show. That's a complete and total
dead
spoiler.
Giveaway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's Gary's list, by the way, is very suspect.
Oh, Gary. I don't know what Gary's doing.
He wrote in Cher, Mariah Carey, like Culture Club. I'm like,
I know. Why does he want to do that?
The parade is like in July. Do we need to do this now? Like, what are you? Do you need boy shorts? Like, when you do this, what is going on, dude?
Well, I think Gary, Gary might be having like a late in life sexual awakening.
Yeah.
And I'm not joking.
Like, it scares me.
Yeah.
Actually, just even to imagine.
Yeah.
Gary having any kind of sexual awakening.
Just imagine Rachel Ray is a guy for your listeners. That's Gary Cannon. He's
much hairier chest.
Much hairier, yeah.
Yeah.
And I anticipate his shirt will be off by the second show because I don't think he'll stay sober long enough to be able
How does he not have the gout?
Honestly,
he probably
he's like the walking
does.
Gout.
Yeah.
He's the personification of gout.
He's a scallop with boots. Like, that's what his.
That's like a good, you know, like Bobby is the comedy Pitbull.
Bobby Slayton.
Bobby Slayton. Yeah, you can use that one for Gary Cannon. He's the comedy scallop.
No, really but very excited for this one. Very, and my family's all coming in for this. My son and daughter are coming in, and my son, you have kids and they do things, right, that make you laugh incredibly hard. Mm-hmm. And my son the other day came downstairs. I wasn't home for this, but he came downstairs and he said, Mommy, you need to wipe. It got everywhere. And my wife, Jess, is like, of course, Kent, let's go to the bathroom. So, you know, she gets Kent to pull down disrobe and she gets a warm washcloth and she's scrubbing his bottom and nothing's coming off. And she's like, Ken, oh my God, I think something's, maybe we have to go to the doctor. And he just starts dying laughing. She goes, what is so funny? He goes, no, I put green marker all over my butt. It's a joke. And I just thought, this kid's awesome. And then my wife goes, why did you do that?
Awesome.
He said, well, I was using this marker and it looked like a number two. And I thought to myself,
I mean, you had to be a little bit proud. Right?
Yeah. Oh, I'm incredibly proud. Incredibly proud. The other day I was driving him and his friend. I took them to a movie and he goes, and he in the back seat, he goes, Lorenzo, sometimes I swear. And I go, Kent, we don't swear. We don't use swear words. And then he like without missing a beat, he goes, Lorenzo, in my dreams, I swear.
I was like, wow.
That was great. Like, great line. Like, really smooth.
Disregard what I said earlier. Let me clarify. Never out loud. Only in dream time.
But this is my favorite. This is my favorite one. I take him out like a boys' day. We go to eat lunch recently. We go to this Mexican restaurant. And we're sitting in a booth. And he just looks at me. He goes, Dad, I think the people in the booth behind us, I think one of them farted. And I'm just eating my chips and salsa. I don't say anything. He goes, it really, really smells. And I still don't say anything. Then, like 2 seconds later goes by, he goes, you caught me red-handed. It was me. I didn't say anything the whole time. Like, I didn't say anything. And he just like,
I just confessed. You caught me red-handed. It was me. I never pressured
him.
It's
like a Perry Mason episode.
He just broke down. He would never last in modern-day Russia.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, under questioning? They don't even have to question. They're like, just put him in the seat.
Just walk into the room, swing the light in his general direction.
You call me red-handed.
I'll tell you everything.
what a great moment for you right
now. He's giving up to like,
I'm just so happy for
you. Some kids hit a home like, run.
Chunk.
Yeah.
And then, did he say it like laughing? Or did he say it
he
like,
he just said it dead serious. Dead serious.
That makes it way fun.
I'm crying laughing. And so I think that these kids are going to, they're definitely coming to rehearsals, but I don't think I can keep them away from the stage during that first show. So
how many trips to the airport are you planning?
Oh, God. Well, here's the thing. Like, everybody's coming in, and I don't want to just say, hey, just Uber. Let me, you know, I'm trying to make things as easy as possible for every single person. Yeah. So in case anything happens, I want to be there. So and of course, nobody's flying in at the same time. So it's just I think it's 3 trips today. If you need help moving, call me because I'm going to the airport. I might as well help you move. And then I have, like, I think three trips tomorrow. My wife is doing the other runs as well, so.
So I saw one thing on your itinerary where you were picking up two comics within a 2-hour period, and one of them was Gary Cannon. And I looked at that and I thought, "Oh, Gary's getting axed. Gary is not getting the."
By the way, you're not wrong. I was thinking,
I was like, it says Steve Byrne will pick Gary up at the airport 2:00, 4:00. Steve Byrne will pick up whoever Roy's coming in.
Yeah,
and I was reading and thinking. Yeah, he's not going to pick up. No, there's no way. He's going to the airport, driving to town, then driving right back to
just
the airport.
Just leave a pair of rollerblades at the gate.
Bus fare. Take the blue line. Yeah, Gary, I'm doing a Instagram Live for Permanis tomorrow, so I'm very excited about this.
Oh, my God, Steve. This is
my dream.
News.
This might be bigger than the Comedy Jam for me. I'm going to Market Square to Permani Brothers at 2:00 to do live with them and goof off and cook and enjoy. So I'm very excited.
Oh,
and Neil
Kane, awesome.
My buddy Neil Kane, who plays bass with Harry Connick. He's like one of the most accomplished jazz bass players, constantly getting written up. He's from New Orleans, Randy. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait for you to meet this guy. He'll be with me as well. And we're both super excited. He's never been.
Oh, Superman. Oh, well, it's an experience. There's no
I
doubt
love breaking
about it. So
somebody
you're taking
in.
Over. You're doing a live Instagram.
I'm doing their account, yeah. And I'm going to hang in Permani Brothers. And this is like.
In between pickups and drop offs.
Yeah, in between, yeah. 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 Daddy's still going to work.
In the strip?
Market Square.
Market Square, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm very excited.
You're going to see how the sausage is made, literally. So, I mean, any concerns there in terms of like getting to know too much or getting too close to the, never meet your heroes type of thing?
I just don't hope to reactivate my gout, apparently.
Yeah.
So unless they have a lobster permani. Yeah. Yeah.
Doctors say cap and egg is really good for gout.
Eat just rub it right on your foot. Don't even eat it.
The last New Year's Eve I was here, Joel Osborne was with me, the kid from the amazing Jonathan Documentary.
Oh, yeah.
We were here for 6 days. Because we stayed an extra day and saw the Steeler game. Mm-hmm. And we counted. We actually ate at Permani Brothers 8 times over the course of 6 days. He was like, how did that happen? We did it because he was like me. He was like, we got to go back. We have to do it. And so we went for 8 meals over back. 6 days. That's 12 meals at least. What's that?
When you do that, do you switch up your order or do you do the same thing?
I do the same thing every time. I get the Pittsburgher, and I get a pastrami, and I go a sandwich and a half every time.
Oh,
I was
God.
In the first time I was in I was playing hockey for Hampton, but we went
Hampton
to
rules.
We went to Mount Lebo, and my dad brought me back. He's like you got to try the sandwich. I go okay, and I think I was 15 at the time. It was my first time I had Permani's. I'd been here the whole run, never tried it, and then 15 years old, 2.5 Permani Brothers. I've never come close to that again. Wow. That was my personal best.
You immediately got gout. I watched you eat two one time. We did the Lemieux Foundation benefit, and it was me, you, and Burr, and Tall Kathy, and I'm not sure if Bill was there or not.
No, when Mario came out, when Mario came out to us, and he goes, tough one, eh, boys?
No, that was
that the one?
That was a different one.
That was a different one.
That was a different one. And it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And you ate two of them. And I just remember thinking, how are you going to sleep?
Oh, that's what does it. Now my body's going to work. Now my body digests it. I'm in catacomb status. I just just close the casket, like, the arms fold over. I need a little dust, dirt underneath my back. Yeah.
Bye, you don't world. Sleep as much as you hibernate.
That is my superpower. Sleeping is my I could fall asleep on this studio table right here. If you left me alone and I had 20 minutes.
He is not lying. I've seen it. I mean, we were on the USO tour. We're at a military base in Kuwait. He's sleeping on a couch before the show.
I went, we left LA and flew to the Middle East. It's a 16-hour flight. I fell asleep as we departed. And then I wake up, boom.
Wheels
and
on
I
the
was
ground.
Like, I was like, wait, I just slept the whole flight? I slept 16 hours straight, and I had slept the night before. So I was so at the airport envious. At like 3 in the afternoon.
I read a book, went to the bathroom 17 times.
I'm like Mr. T on the A-Team. Remember, he'd always drink the concoction that Murdoch would give him, and then Mr. T would fall asleep? That's me.
Wait, I didn't remember that. Murdoch used to roofie Mr. T on.
Yes, he Cosby's Mr. T, because Mr. T could never fly, and then Mad Murdoch would give him a drink. And Mr. Okay, Murdoch, I drink that fool. And then he'd drink it, and the next thing you know, he's like, he's in Aruba. And you think he'd catch on, but he never caught on.
What do we do down here?
Time to become a member of the Z team.
A couple of night, everybody. Still for the second show, Library Music Hall tomorrow night, and it all benefits the Mario Lemieux Foundation. Get them at librarymusichall.com. Val's got your news when we return here on DVE.
Shout out to WDVE.
It's like having a personal hotline to DVE. Experience that.
Just enter this nationwide keyword at DVE.com. Bills. That's bills. Enter it now at DVE.com.
Live from the Don's Appliances Studios, where Pittsburgh shops for appliances. This is WDVE Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so who would you guys say is the best golfer of all time? Just curious, like in terms of major championships.
Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah, so yeah. That's what any normal person would say. Billy Football, I guess, has never heard or watched a golf broadcast in his life. And he thought that his name was Jack Nicklaus. And so he went through, he just unloaded the clip on excuses. And he is the goat of excuses. So I think the first one was, well, usually when I watch golf with my family, we put it on mute. Okay, that's a psycho move. Just first of all, like, the only reason to watch golf on TV is to have the sound on so that Jim Nance can lull you to sleep.
Yeah, it's the quietest sport available.
Yeah, no, we watch golf with the sound off because we like to listen to the local radio broadcast of the golf tournament.
Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show.
PFP commenter on the show last hour. Yeah, and the only reason to watch golf is to fall asleep watching golf. Everyone knows this.
No,
you're sleeping
other
off
reason.
Your Saturday night hangover, and you're watching the Sunday final round, and you're snoozing.
I don't think I've ever watched golf.
You never have?
The only time I've watched golf is when I've been playing Tiger Woods on Xbox. That's the only time I actually watched a full thing of golf. Tuned in and watched like Tiger. I remember watching the ball, the Nike ball, right at the cusp and drop in. I watched that. I saw that happen.
Well, what you need to do is start gambling on golf, and then it really becomes fun to watch. Like I always say, gambling makes everything better.
I hung out with Gardell one time, and I saw him getting so worked up. I'm like, why is he so he's got some money riding.
I thought you were going to say you saw Gardell golf, and I was just gonna laugh hysterically because just even imagining Billy golfing is funny to me.
Oh, the swearing and the obscenities. How many golf clubs would end up in the forest?
Like, if you could have a super cut of Billy on the golf course, just 9 holes of how many swear words were gone. Like,
to the moon, ass! To the moon! Yeah.
There's a guy on hole 8 in a Lambert jersey.
Just
saying some awful things.
He's chugging a Turner's tea. You can't miss him.
Oh, he'd golf in sandals too. See 10 toes. six yellow nails, just
six yellow. Just F-bombs like nonstop.
He's in a sombrero.
Kazi, it's hot out here.
Mesh tank top.
Val's got your news right now. What's going on, Valerie?
8 minutes after 9 at DVE, here's the Channel 11 Severe Weather Center forecast.
Clouds will give way to a little sunshine this afternoon. Could catch a stray shower this morning in a high of 78. I'm Scott Harbaugh in Severe Weather Center 11.
63 degrees at DVE. The news is brought to us by Dunkin'. Pittsburgh is among the best summer travel destinations in the country. That's the word from consumer advice website Wallet Hub, who this week released the rankings of the top destinations in the USA. Steel City came in at number 32 on the list. In putting the list together, Wallet Hub says they considered factors like flight costs, gas prices, and the average nightly rate for a three-star hotel. Pittsburgh placed one spot behind Dallas-Fort Worth in the study and one spot ahead of Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Take that, Grand Rapids.
Pennsylvania households can now order 8 more free at-home coronavirus tests. The White House approved the move on Tuesday, hoping to give residents across the country a better supply of rapid tests ahead of possible summer and fall surges. The Centers for Disease Control said as of Tuesday, Pennsylvania is one of the states in the Northeast that has reached high community levels of transmission. The tests are available at covid.gov/tests. But here's my question. Like, I tested negative on every rapid test that I took. I didn't test positive till I got the PCR test. So how many people are walking around with, saying, I just have allergies?
How many tests did you take initially? Was it
over the course of 8 days, I took 6 tests.
Oh, my God.
All were negative.
Because you were like,
including the day I tested positive.
Because you felt sick and you kept testing negative and you were around everybody that had COVID. So it only made sense that it was actually COVID, but for some reason you weren't testing positive.
Yeah. And then when I woke up with flu-like symptoms on Monday, I'm like, there's no way I don't have it.
Yeah, that's what I was saying behind the scenes. I'm like, Val has it. You're like, I'm testing negative. I was like, she definitely has it. She's put next to Pursuta.
I think we're at a point, though, don't you think, where like, you know you have it. You know what I mean? Like, you took 6 tests.
Yeah.
And you still knew you had it. So, like, I don't know. Like, when I had it, I didn't need to be tested. I was like, oh, I definitely have it. But I got tested, and I definitely had it. But I knew I had it.
So, like, you know, in a vacuum, I think that you can approach things that way. But, like, we were talking about off the air, the big concern is you don't want to give it to anybody else. So you have to kind of follow at least the guidelines that they're putting out there right now, which is, like, 5 days after the first positive, you quarantine. After that, you can wear a mask out in public for 5 days, and then you should be good. But I tested negative after 5 days, and I was like, great, it's all over. And then I tested just to make sure again last night before I was going to come in today, and I tested a bright red positive, like, eat at Joe's flashing sign at me, you have COVID still. So, you know, I don't know what to do with that.
It
you
says
so
like, no, said, maybe Wuhan.
Like it, love it, gotta have it.
It's just a picture of Xi comes up on you.
Basically. Well, in the CDC.
It's like Newton in Jurassic Park.
That's a great reference.
You're back in quarantine.
Sorry, Val.
And the CDC is now recommending all domestic travelers to test for COVID as close to their departure as possible. The agency previously only recommended those who weren't up to date with their vaccinations to get tested before traveling. The recommendation says people should test no sooner than 3 days before they leave on their trip. CDC also now urges travelers to test after returning from a trip if their travels included time in crowded areas.
Just add a swab to the security check. It's already uncomfortable enough. We have to get undressed halfway and go through a scanner.
Yeah, I don't know if I trust those people to swab you also. I mean, they got enough on their plate right now, don't they?
Yeah. They got they don't do anything. Half the time they don't want to be there.
Laptops, take your shoes off, get your belts off, make sure you have everything out of your pockets. Boy, I'm bushed.
Dude, they're, yeah, like when you exit an airport, there's always the TSA at the exit that just stands there, that just watches people leave. They don't do anything. They're half asleep half the time.
They're like the Walmart greeters. Have a nice day.
Have a nice day. Hey, have a good one.
Yeah.
I always act like I'm in line with a soup Nazi when I'm in TSA. I'm just like, you know, just quiet, just step over here. Ba-ba-ba, you know? Mm-hmm. Just wait.
Try
just
not to look very suspicious. Quiet. I'm like, I don't have any weapons on me. Why do I feel uncomfortable?
I always feel like that. I don't think about weapons. I think about weed. But like, I'm always like, it's like when you see a cop when you're driving. You're like,
I'm not doing anything. White knuckles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Walking through the security thing at Walgreens thinking, oh, it's going to go off. It's like, I didn't steal anything. Right. Why am I...
Still with a at a store in the mall, and if it's way, like bum bum bum, I stand there like awkwardly deer frozen.
And
in
these
headlights.
Days, you could just walk out.
Oh yeah,
because everybody's shoplifting, so nobody would even care. By the way, when those things go off, nobody does anything.
Nobody comes.
Have you ever
to
seen wah, wah, wah? They go, okay, go ahead. They never check.
Here's what you need to do. If you're walking out of one of the stores and those wah, 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 goes off, just turn around, look at everyone in the store, and scream at the top of your lungs like you're terrified.
I always just sprint.
I just rock a deuce. I drop my pants and I go, where are the wigs?
Steve, I was on a flight one time from Buffalo to Atlanta, and there was nobody on the plane. It was one of those, like, you know, pre-9/11, you know, when they were flying planes around all over the place. Like, whatever, two people, we got to go. It was me and, like, an old woman. And we were, like, the only people on the plane. And
Mile High
like
Club,
that,
I hear you. Okay.
Yeah,
you walk me through it.
Yes, exactly. Oh, Martha. So, like, this, like, alarm goes off. I've never heard anything like this in a plane. It's like, like, in the plane. And I'm, like, I look over at the woman, like, what the hell? And she looks at me, and then she just went, she screamed at the top of her lungs like that, and then I just like looked at her, and then it stopped, and she stopped screaming, and we didn't say a word to each other. That was it.
She just like, screamed. No flight attendants came out. Nothing.
No. There was like, it was like two. Remember, you know, those puddle jumper things.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah.
Like, it was a long flight, but it was a tiny plane.
Sure.
But
I'm sure the flight attendants.
My reaction
like,
when I hear
leaving
a siren
Buffalo,
is,
they're happy.
Right.
They're
okay. If you scream, it's just, you know, everyone gets terrified for 1 second. Although at this day and age, maybe that's not. Don't take that advice, kids, because you know it's not 1999 anymore.
The Amazing Jonathan was on a flight with Joel Osborne, and Joel was telling me the story. It didn't make it in the doc, but they're flying somewhere, and they hit some turbulence or something, and the plane actually like that Denzel movie. It did a rollover.
Gosh.
And Joel has said to this day he's never been more frightened in his life, and he was screaming. He looked over at Jonathan, and Jonathan was laughing. And thinking this was awesome because Jonathan's, you know, methed up or whatever. And they land and Joel's like, oh, my God, we almost died. And Jonathan, the only thing Jonathan said to Joel was, if that plane went down, I was the most famous person on that plane. That was great.
Always Amazing is the documentary that Steve Byrne directed about the Amazing Jonathan, who
it's
is
so good.
One of the most entertaining people in the history of comedy.
Oh, my God. Dude, there were so many stories we left out, by the way. One of my favorites that just got unearthed recently, because we're going to go pitch the show, and the film crossed 1 million views on YouTube. But
nice. Congrats.
They,
nice.
They had these Halloween parties. Did I ever tell you about the Halloween? I don't think I told you about the Halloween parties. So Jonathan was famous in Vegas for throwing these Halloween parties, and everybody would come. Like, it was the thing to do if you lived in Vegas. You had to go. Like, Britney Spears would go. Like, anybody who's in town would go to this thing. And it got so big, Jonathan's like, I just want to shock people when they come in. As soon as they walk in, I want them to be shocked. And Joel's like, oh, okay. So Jonathan says to Joel, all right, this is what you're going to do. You're going to call every escort agency in town and find me the best rate, because I want a prostitute to be having intercourse with a burro. And Joel's like, excuse me?
A donkey.
And Joel's never... called an escort service. Joel
is the most innocent kid ever, which makes him and his friendship hilarious.
He's tried to pull a Godfather 2 donkey show.
Yes, and Joel's like trying to like lowball them. Like, first off, get the rate right before people hang up on him.
Is
like,
there a rate?
I mean, there was a rate because he and the woman had to dress up like a nun, which was like. This is Jonathan, guys. This is what Joel would have to do, like on a weekly basis. There's always some curveball, and Joel's like, "Okay, so hold on. How do I call him and approach this?" And you got an 18-year-old kid calling escort agencies. We want to hire a woman dressed like a nun. Oh, okay, and ..
I don't know what's worse.
Yeah, I mean, I know you told us before, didn't he have like some weird things in his house when you walked in Jonathan's house?
Oh, the best. If you didn't know it, which I didn't know, he had a chair you would sit in. He's like, she would soup you up, right? He'd be like, oh, this chair, I got it from England. It's, you know, it was in King Henry's, you know, castle or whatever. And he'd give you the historical context. You'd sit in it and the chair would flip back. And you'd be on the floor in 2 seconds. And then you'd round a corner and there was the scariest one is he had a tarantula encased in glass. And it was a real tarantula. It looked real. And he's like, I'm like, oh my God, that's crazy. He's like, dude, I caught that in my pool. It was swimming out of my pool. He's like, and what you'll notice is that you can tell it's poisonous if you look closely at the eyes. There's yellow in. And as he's telling the story, a spider drops from the ceiling right in front of you and scares the hell out of you. And he had the actual Chucky doll from the movie Chucky. And you'd go over. I have a video of it on my phone. I'll post it today. But you'd walk over, and he'd walk you through it. This is the original Chucky. There's only six made. And if you look at the shirt, and then he's standing behind there, and there's a lever, and he'd pull the lever, and the Chucky doll would jump out at you, and its limp hands would hit the glass. There were many opportunities to rock-a-deuce or pee-pee squirt your pants when visiting Jonathan's house. It was amazing.
Amazing.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Always Amazing is the documentary that Steve Byrne directed about the amazing Jonathan. You can catch that on YouTube if you haven't already. It is tremendous. Great. And Steve in town for the goddamn Comedy Jam, which is tomorrow night in Homestead at the Carnegie Library Music Hall. Joining us right now to talk about one of the biggest music festivals in the country right here in Pittsburgh in Millvale, Paul Besong from the Millvale Music Festival on the line right now. Paul, good morning. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
I'm great. First of all, I want to congratulate you on putting together yet another epic festival in Millvale. I don't know if people understand the Herculean effort that is required in order to stage something like this. How many bands have you booked?
We have over 300 musical acts booked for Friday night and Saturday.
Oh, dude, that is so cool.
Yeah, we had 640 submissions this year. I tell you what, local musicians are ready to get out again, and this is sort of the unveiling of bringing the music back to Pittsburgh as far as the local scene goes, in my opinion. So,
now, the cool thing about this, you guys have you have staging all over Millvale. Is it what's the percentage of indoor to outdoor stages?
I'd say, especially on Saturday, it's probably about 50-50. Friday night is mostly more indoor places, with a few exceptions. But definitely on Saturday, you've got plenty of things you can stroll around outside. We've got arts districts and events in our community gardens, all kinds of different things that you can kind of wander around and see without even worrying about getting inside if those are concerns of folks still.
Right. So the good thing about festivals like this is that there's usually tons of vendors and, you know, different artists who are there selling their wares and stuff. What kind of scene have you guys curated for this weekend's festivities?
Well, we've got about 50 visual artists with, you know, paintings, jewelry, all that type of stuff. And then on top of that, we've got all kinds of other things around the festival, including a sculpture debut in our community gardens. We've got comedy, spoken word, 20 food trucks floating around. We've got a fashion show. So there are all kinds of things in addition to the 300 musical acts that you can check out.
And is it all free?
It is completely free. The entire festival, after being supported by Vicini's Distributing with their flagship brands, Victory Trogues, Moosehead, and Wild Basin, all of the proceeds come from the sales of food and drink and official merchandise. And last year we were thankful to be able to raise over $20,000 that we paid out to the musicians that played last year. And of course,
that is awesome.
You know,
that is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, obviously beat that this year.
that's your challenge, right? You have 300 bands, but how do you fairly pay everybody if you're going to have that big of an event? But you were able to pull together 20K for the bands. That is incredible. Great job by you guys, as always. Now, there's another music festival going on in town this weekend, but the one thing I would say to the people who are planning on going there is that you can do both, and yours is free, and they're right on, like, if you're coming from town, one is on the way to the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. We've got Friday night, and then Saturday. I don't think that other festival starts till after 5 p.m., so we've got stuff starting at noon on Saturday. So you can still get in 2 days of the Millville Music Festival and make it up there. So,
Now, do you want to promote any of the bands? I know you have so many of them, but there are certainly some headliner highlights that you guys are excited about.
Sure, yeah. I mean, there's some huge names that we all know, like Gene the Werewolf, Andre Costello and the Cool Miners, Chet Vincent in the music industry. Some other ones, new ones that are new to me as well. Living Street. We've got Back Alley Sound, Royce, Fubar, Trailhead, Slam Band and Sam. We've got a bunch of great
Trailheads artists. And Slam Band and Sam are great.
yeah. And then we also have Friends of SOS Pittsburgh that helped support a lot of the venues through the pandemic. We have a lot of those musicians getting back together on Friday night at the Funhouse at Mr. Smalls, and that includes Bastard Bearded Irish from Submachine, Liz Berlin from Rusted Root, who's also one of the owners of Mr. Smalls, are performing. So that'll be a great time as well.
That's a great. I'm actually drinking out of my Gene the Werewolf Yeti mug that they gave me right now. So. All right. So, Paul, where can people go to find the scheduling times, the locations, the stage locations, et cetera?
Sure. So MillvilleMusic.org is our website. Obviously, a lot of information there. Our Facebook event is constantly updated. But I think the slickest, awesome tool that we have is the app this year. We've had it every year, but it keeps getting better and better. So the Millville Music Festival app. You can research some new bands. All bands are on there with links to all their social media and where you can hear them. You can set your own schedule, browse the map. All that kind of stuff is all listed on there. And, again, completely free. Use that as your tool before you come, while you're there, and even afterwards you can continue to use that as your tool to research the Pittsburgh music scene.
Okay, the last question I have for you is, what would you say would be the best strategy for parking? Because if you're not riding your bike in from the north side or taking ride sharing in, what's the best thing to do here?
You beat me to it. I was going to say Uber, Lyft, Z-Trip, or bike are all my favorite ones. We are going to over triple the population of Millville on Saturday. So parking is a hot commodity. We do have some off-site parking with a free shuttle. Again, check that out on our maps and the app and everything, and you can park there and shuttle right down the hill. There is parking in town, but it is limited. So the early bird gets the worm, get into town, and you can find a spot. It'll be a tight one, so we always recommend find an alternative way. We've had some people kayak to the festival before. I love that. So
That's
pretty
cool.
90 degrees, so it'll be a great day to be on the river if you want to do that.
So, yeah, that's the one thing I would say is if any suburbanites are coming into town and they want to see this, an easy thing to do is throw bikes on your car, park on the north side, and take the river trail over there. It'll take you 10 minutes. And it's fun. It's a nice little trail and, good time. The Millville Music Festival this weekend, Paul Besong. Hey, congrats once again. You guys are you make it better every year. I think that's the goal when you have a festival like this is to improve on it each and every year. And undoubtedly, you guys have done that. It's grown by leaps and bounds. So congratulations to you guys.
Appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Okay, man, we'll see you this weekend. The Millville Music Festival, go check it out. Download that app and see tons of free music of all the incredible Pittsburgh musicians.
Yeah, that's
really
cool.
Out there this weekend. Quick break. We'll be right back with Mike Pursuit of Sports on DVE.
Take advantage of Zero Res's 15% off all services. Visit ZeroResPGH.com and enter promo code RADIO15.
You can tell a lot about a business by their habits, and when they're known for giving back to the community. Mike Pursuit with your sports right now on the DVE Morning Show. Mike, what's the word?
Sports is now brought to you by Dormont Appliance. Some interesting stuff to chew on from Josh Yoey of The Athletic in a story posted yesterday, kind of a Penguins season wrap-up type of deal. Yoey addresses, among other things, the potential futures of general manager Ron Hextall and Penguins head coach Mike Sullivan. Here's what Yoey had to say about the GM. Quote, earlier this season, the Penguins' new ownership group told Hextall they wanted to see his vision for the team in writing. Hextall, a creature of habit and in the middle of regular season responsibilities, initially explained that his plan for the Penguins' future was in his head and not easily articulated by the written word. He was told to write his version of the Penguins' future anyway. Hextall respected ownership's request and provided a written summary, painting a verbal picture of the Penguins' future on his watch. Only the ownership circle is privy to Hextall's words and his vision. If the Fenway Group is satisfied with it, he presumably will remain. If not, an already fascinating summer in Pittsburgh could become more tumultuous.
Knowing Hextall, he wrote four words down. Try not to suck. My vision.
He wrote it in crayon. He told him it's in his head. He couldn't write it down.
What's your plans for defeating COVID, Mr. Trump? Well, it's all in my head, to be honest with you. It's all in the noggin, and I got it. I got the plan. So don't worry. Kick back, relax. It's going to be gone. It's right here in the old coconut. It's in my head.
As for head coach Mike Sullivan, Yogi writes, quote, numerous sources confirmed members of the Fenway Sports Group are extremely impressed with Sullivan and view him as the Penguins' coach for the present and the future.
I mean, that makes sense to me. You got to lie if you're on Hextall there, though, don't you? When they say, can you write it down? You say, absolutely.
Yeah.
You don't go, well, I kind of just had it in my head.
This is crazy to say that.
Don't worry. I got to. It's a need-to-know basis. You guys don't need to know.
That's something somebody says like the night shift at Arby's, not like when you're running a sports team.
The front office of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Unbelievable. He's gone.
I think Sullivan's a great coach, but I wonder if he can adapt to the way the game is trending. I don't know if they'll ever play heavy enough under him.
That guy is constantly plugging holes. You think about it. He's on a ship where every season he's plugging holes since 2017. Mm-hmm. There's a hole over here he's got to plug. I mean, just constant. And a winning record, getting the playoffs, carrying them through it all, the mantra, the mindset. He always says the right things. I don't know. I love the guy.
He won 9 consecutive series to start his career, 2 cups and another round. He hasn't won one since. 5 in a row. That's never happened. Steve, you know Penguins history. It was pretty easy to do better than their worst playoff performance ever.
Sure.
I shouldn't say it was easy. It was hard to surpass that, because they weren't very good for a long time. 5 series in a row.
This loss with the Rangers, you know, statistically, you look at possession times, all the metrics, and we, on paper, beat the Rangers. This series hurt me more than 1993.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, I've been carrying 93 with me. I have a vitriol disgust for the Islanders ever since then. Before that, I could respect them, but since 93, I hate them, and this one hurt them. This one hurt more than that because we had the components, because it's the last hurrah for the core.
You're up 3-1 in the series.
You're up 3-1, and then you get dealt a horrible hand with injuries, especially in the net.
Well, you know, Bill and I talked about this too. I went into the series with 0 expectations. Didn't think we were going to win.
Yeah.
First period of game 1, they absolutely manhandle us, embarrass us. It just is like,
it was Ikentino.
Seems like every worst fear is coming true, and the organization is going to be embarrassed.
Yeah, it was Ikentino. Yeah. Sorry.
And then they come back and win in triple OT, and my hatred for the Rangers and the need to beat them went right back to where it had been for every previous team and every previous year. Like, I thought I was going to be emotionally untethered to this one, and it was the exact opposite.
It stayed with me for days. As a fan, and I can't even imagine what it is like to be on that actual roster. And then you hear all the guys as they're cleaning out the lockers, even before Brian Boyle got hurt, what's it like playing with this team? They all smile. They all say that it's a great vibe in that locker room. And that also hurts as a fan, because you know the fish swims from the head down. The core, the coach, I think they do a great job in that locker room, making everybody feel like it sounds like a great vibe. The leadership is great. I'd love to see it go on. It's a bummer.
you know, you saw throughout the season their resilience. Their culture is clearly good. Their belief is what you'd want it to be. They keep coming. They're resilient. They got some star power. They got this. They got that. They can't win a playoff series.
Yeah, snake bit.
I don't have the answer as to why, but five in a row is an eternity in the NHL, particularly with what they've had available. And, you know, you can keep saying, well, it's because of this or because of that or because of this. I think the Fenway Group's in a good position to examine this with a fresh set of eyes. And these people know sports, and they're not new to the sports game. And, you know, I think some change has got to be made. Now, I'm not saying fire Sully or fire Hextall, but starting with the roster – if Letang and Malkin leave as anticipated, now you're going to have some cap room. And if you want to remodel it, you have the ability to do that. So let's see what in which direction they
keep any of the two. Do you think they keep Malkin or Letang?
I don't know. I can tell you what I'd do. If I was in charge, I would make Brian Rust a priority, and I would tell the other two guys, thanks for the memories. Good luck wherever you end up.
Do you think about... You know, I guess management pleasing Sid and keeping one of the core, or
if you keep Rust and he still has Gensel, he's still got his line.
Yeah,
I think that's pleasing Sid.
I think it'd be hard to just keep one of them because which one, you know? And then you get like, do you make them compete for it?
There you go. You could have a little contest.
Yeah, be like the Joker, snap a cue stick in half.
Be like the Mombine. Have a contract by them online. No, I mean, thanks for the memories and generational and all that. It doesn't last forever, and you got to be cold-hearted in sports.
I think between the two, you keep Letang, though, because Malkin's been so banged up the last three seasons, playing virtually half a season the last two or three. So, and Letang, I mean, he is not only good-looking, but he I think he had one of his best seasons ever, right?
Yeah. He doesn't defend, to me, I don't know. Maybe other people see things I don't with him. He was on, the Rangers got 28 goals in that series, and he was on the ice for 17 of them. 17 out of 28.
Well, when you're playing 40 minutes,
but they score. The other team scores when he's out there. I don't know, maybe he's playing too much.
He's beautiful, He's beautiful. He drinks puppy blood. He's never aging. I love him.
I wish him success in Montreal. That'd be a great story. Go to Montreal.
Yeah.
Play for them for a while.
Victory lap there, yeah.
Give up a bunch of goals for the Canadians. Last night, 9-6, Calgary over Edmonton, and 2-1 in overtime, Carolina over the Rangers. That Calgary game must have been nuts. I watched the Ranger game and went to bed. The Flames got two goals in the first minute, actually in the first 51 seconds. They led 3-0, 5-1, and 6-2. Edmonton got four consecutive goals to tie it at 6 early in the third period, and then Calgary scores the last three. Connor McDavid, a goal and three assists, 4 points for Edmonton. He has 18 points in 8 playoff games, and he's plus 9.
And they still lost.
And they still lost.
That's heartbreaking to hear.
But that's somehow his... 18 points in 8 games.
You can't ask for more. What more do you want from the guy?
Yeah, he has him on his back.
God.
NHL announced the three finalists for the Lady Byng Trophy, which is awarded for sportsmanship and gentlemanly conduct combined with a high standard of playing ability. I don't care about
Ryan Reeves. So
much. I'm not going to mention Tom Wilson. Guys. Tampa's at Florida tonight, leading 1-0, and St. Louis is at Colorado, trailing 1-0. Pirates beat the Cubs 3-2. They're off today. They've got the Cardinals tomorrow at PNC Park.
I'm going Saturday. I can't wait.
You got something to do Friday night?
Yeah, I got a little shindig, but very excited to go to PNC. I haven't been in a while, so.
Steve Burney in town for the goddamn Comedy Jam Friday night. There's two shows. The first one sold right the F out. The second one has some tickets left. Get those remaining tickets at librarymusichall.com. Stan Saverin, he's fighting off something. We're all fighting off something. Stan's going to join us when we come back here. Everybody is playing hurt. It's how we roll these days. And we're fighting through it. And Stan, we'll ask him about that Ron Hextall story because that is absolutely hilarious. Write down your vision. I can't. It's in my head.
Maybe he's just going to do a Chris Farley, drop to his knees. I can't write.
Ain't right.
All right, Stan's next. DB.
We're trying to stimulate the economy.
Holy cow.
One listener at a time. Workforce Cash is on DV.
Right now, the godfather of Pittsburgh sports talk, Stan Savran, ladies and gentlemen. Stanley, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing okay. How are you guys?
Good. Are you calling us from, are you in the hospital right now?
I am in the hospital right now. Michael and Enzo the baker are outside.
Say, did they move your bed?
Yeah, nervously trying to light a cigarette. You know, waiting. You know, waiting for the onslaught and the police captain and Salazzo to show up.
All right. So to reassure the listeners, you don't have COVID.
I do not.
And you're just you're battling through something, and you expect to be out tomorrow, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope tomorrow. I really hope to be out today so I could get back and do tomorrow's show. I did Mondays, but I haven't been on the air since. But it's looking like probably they'll let me out of here tomorrow. I'll have the weekend, then I'll be back in business on Monday morning.
Stan, did you read the story that Josh Yohe printed about Ron Hextall being asked by the Fenway Sports Group to write down his vision for the organization, and he said he couldn't because it was all in his head?
You know, if that's one of the compulsories for, you know, retaining your job, not a good start. You know, there are all kinds of inconsistencies coming out. You know, this business about Sid wanted to play, but he wasn't cleared. But he was cleared, but, you know, I didn't let him. It's all very confusing. And not really that confusing. Look, to me, this was a medical decision, as it might be for any player, but certainly for him, you know, given his circumstance. I don't know what game, if it's a game that Hextall's playing. But that kind of thing can't be, you know, well taken by new management. He's got to understand, he's probably worked for management groups that operate under the old hockey boy theory. It's done by touch. It's done by feel. Let's remember, the Penguins, once upon a time, were the last organization to go to computers. I mean, they used to keep their scouting records on paper, and it became outdated. Maybe Hextall's, you know, days of, I do things by touch, I do things by feel, and I'm not going to write down any mission statements. You got to adapt. I think Sullivan is safe, and not necessarily because they crapped out in the playoffs, but I think that even if they had done better in the playoffs, at least reached, I don't know what expectations were, then I think that he would have had to understand that this is a new normal.
It reminds me of, and Mike had referenced this earlier, in Seinfeld when Costanza was driving around the Yankees parking lot dragging the World Series trophy behind him because he's trying to get fired. Like,
right.
I don't understand how you couldn't just fib your way through that. Like, oh, yes, of course. Yeah, I'll have those on your desk Monday morning.
Can I send you guys a voice memo? Yeah.
Maybe they found Hextall hiding underneath his desk. Maybe he was living under there.
Can you enter my head?
Yeah, like George Costanza was. I mean, I don't know. I know a lot of people are down on Hextall. I have to give him, if you're asking for grades, I have to give him an incomplete, only because there was only so much he could do. He had no cap space. I thought he did a great job getting Raquel. The fact that Raquel got hurt so early was a problem with the Rangers and the league, frankly, more than anything else. But I don't know what else he could have done in season. I mean, the true judge would be what he would do in the off season, and I think that's what they're looking for. I think they understand that another first-round playoff failure, even if they didn't have the contractual pressures that they have, changes were going to have to be made. But now, on the one hand, you can look at it like, these changes have to be made because these guys are on expired contracts, but that also gives you an excuse. I had to do this because I had to do that. I don't know that I can judge Hextall. Based on past experience, maybe He's never faced an overhaul like this, or maybe we should put it like a delicate overhaul. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they think that, you know, Sid and Gensel and Jari and some others aside, you know, maybe it is time for a measured approach, and they're the new owners. Maybe the kind of approach that they want to take, and with the guy they think that, you know, ought to, you know, be able to engineer them through this. It's going to be massive.
You know, there's a lot of hot takes going on out there right now, and a lot of them seem just to be to, you know, generate some conversation more than being fact-based at all. But can you envision a scenario where Sidney Crosby was cleared to play and didn't because they wouldn't let, like, could you keep 87 off the ice if he was healthy? It seems that would be an impossibility.
As I said earlier, Randy, to me, that's strictly a medical decision. I can't imagine any scenario where he got cleared by the medical staff that has guided him through all these various issues, and that he said no, or that Hextall said no, or that Sullivan said no, or that anybody said no. I would think, unless he did not feel great, they might have said, you know, medically you're cleared to go, and maybe he, knowing himself better than anyone, might have said, you know, I don't feel right. I don't feel right to go in game six. That's the only scenario under which I think that could have transpired. That he knows, you know, when he's right and when he's not, even if he's been medically cleared. That's the only circumstance I can possibly imagine.
Can you come up with an analogy for Vogelbach running from third trying to score against the Cubs the other night?
For all the world, I kept thinking about Curly from the Three Stooges going, you know, same body type. Same. See, I'm sure the same speed. In fact, Curly might be a bit faster. And you know, I understand that they want to challenge outfielders, but the, you know, the one-armed outfielder Pete Gray could have thrown him out.
Number 22 for the St. Louis Browns.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he used to take his glove off, and Jim Abbott, to bring it more up to date. I mean, look, the guy can hit. And you know, and there's no, and he seems like a great guy. He's a good leader, but there's only certain things he can do. And that was the classic shooting ducks on a pond, or you know, choose any farm animal you want. Maybe ducks. Yeah.
Turkeys
right
on the farm.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, you know, just, you know, kind of like churning his. He's got short little arms. You know, churning his arms real fast, and you know, it's like, the faster you churn your arms, the faster you think you're going, but you're actually moving slower. And the only thing we missed was the whoop, 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 whoop.
Stan, feel better. You're not going to do your show today, right? So
no, I'm afraid not. I'd love to. Today would have been Stan and Guy Day, but I hope to be out of here by tomorrow, and hopefully they've got some issues solved, and I'll be back to normal.
Well, if anything, Stan, you're probably avoiding getting COVID right now because everybody's got it. So being in there is probably the safest place to be in the interim.
Probably so. Probably so.
Feel better soon, buddy.
Yeah, get well, Stan.
We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, Stan.
All right, guys. See you next week. Thank you.
Okay. Stan Saverin this morning on the DV Morning Show. Thanks to Paul Besong from the Millvale Music Festival. They really put together an unbelievable slate of bands, 300-plus for free all weekend in Millvale. Check out their website and their app to get scheduling times and parking ideas, and rideshare or biking in is probably going to be your best bet because they are going to, it's going to be like Happy Valley on a Saturday. You know what I mean? It's like,
oh, yeah.
You know, quadrupling the population. Also thanks to PFT Commenter from Pardon My Take for joining us earlier. And of course the Greenfield podcast, the Greenfield's finest pod. Thanks to Mike and Jack from that. Stink, you're going to be, you're going to be on the stage with them Saturday night, right, Bill?
Yeah, I'm doing the Greenfield's Finest Podcast comedy show at Comtra Theater. That's in Cranberry on Route 19. Me, Mike Zeidel, and Seneca Stone. It's going to be a great show. Hopefully people can come out. That show is going to start at 7:30.
Yeah. That sounds awesome. Those guys were so funny. If you missed anything on the show, you want to go check out, of course, the Bordas and Bordas podcast each and every day with the iHeartRadio app or DV.com. But really, anywhere you get podcasts, you'll find us, the DV Morning Show, in podcast form. And, of course, big thanks to Steve Byrne for stopping in live in studio this morning. Even though we're all scattered all over in our COVID bunkers, Steve made it in studio with Bill today. And it was great to see you. And I'm really excited for tomorrow night.
Thank you guys so much. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's a great cause. It's all proceeds go to Mario Lemieux Foundation. And it's the greatest comedy concert you're ever going to go to. It's a blast. People are going to be blown away at how much fun this is.
First show sold out. The second show has some tickets available. Get them at librarymusichall.com.
And can I just say that I've seen people online saying, oh, you know, my wife has to stay home with the kids. Is it okay for me to go alone? You won't be alone. This is going to be one big group. Yes. Like, we all are in the karaoke booth together.
Yeah.
And it's just going to, like, your family. If you go solo, you're not alone.
It's like a Yinzer Olive Garden.
Like, there's going to be a Netflix special. The goddamn Comedy Jam Netflix special is going to be coming out. This is a show that they typically only do in L.A., Nashville, New York City, but Steve has brought it to us here in Pittsburgh. And for those who don't know what to expect and haven't seen it, Steve, this is not a sit down and watch and enjoy comedy. This is
not a book read at Barnes & Noble with you know, a government official. This is like full on. You're up and out of your seats. It's like Ferris Bueller when he's doing Twist and Shout. That's what the city's going to turn into. It's a total blast. I'm telling you, people are going to be blown away. It's the most fun I've ever had. And Josh and Gary will be with me tomorrow here with you guys. So we'll get to talk about it more.
And some special guests will be there that have been not announced that will be on these shows. So you won't want to miss it.
I'll just give you one hint. He's orange and he loves a filet of fish.
Michelle Michaels coming up next with the Electrical Engineer. Val, Mike, feel better tomorrow.
You more too.
Feel better, guys.
Yeah, this sucks. All right, Michelle's got the lunch coming up next. DB.
I'm finished. You stay classy, Pittsburgh.
Don't touch your face.
I got him dead, Pittsburgh, all day, baby.
For now, you guys call me Ronald.
Would you not eat my pants?
Ronald.
You always say, at the end of the ride.
Murray! Murray!
Google it!
You better pick him up and put him down, mother...
This is Chris Collinsworth. Here's what's trending on the iHeart Sports Network, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
The Pirates got a win in Wrigley, nipping the Cubs with rookie Jack Sawinski hitting the tie-breaking home run. Pirates host St. Louis tomorrow. After eliminating the Penguins, Rangers lost game one of the Eastern Conference semifinals, falling in overtime to Carolina on a goal by former Penn, Ian Cole. The NBA's Eastern Conference finals continue tonight. Miami, with a one-game lead, plays at home against Boston. I'm Matt McCoy.
Are you looking?